about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
And the winner is. Well, the time has come.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
After we eat, we can watch that YouTube footage of Miley Matlin calling movie phone.
Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Nast Mimti.
You have selected 300. If this is the movie you'd like to see, say yes now.
No.
You have confirmed 300.
Hey, Lisa. Do you work at Subway? Because you just gave me a foot long.
This is not a joke, okay? It was offensive and lame. So double offensive.
And now,
two huge douchebags.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome back to another week.
Good start.
If you didn't have those pesky headphones, you'd be fine.
I know, they bug me.
Well, it's just they're all tied up with wires over here, and we have a keyboard, and the wire that gets all wrapped up, and you know,
got real troubles. Real troubles. We're going to take your telephone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the Monday edition of Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. And of course, Mondays are always exciting because we roll out a new prize. So let's get a hand check before we go on. Hands in the air, please, if everybody survived the Oscars. I just want to make sure everybody's still alive and is here today. No one actually died watching the program because it seemed like that was a real possibility for a while.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was fine.
No.
Yeah, you guys are pretty good.
You guys are kidding me.
Well, I don't watch it in real time.
I start
an hour and a half after it begins.
Right, yeah. I'm not talking about the commercials, though. I'm talking about the show.
Yeah.
Hmm. I fast forward to some of that, too.
There were dead parts, but I thought it was pretty good. I like Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
I thought they were great.
Really? Interesting. I guess
like
I was watching a different show. I was on ABC.
Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, you didn't like.
Let me tell you this. There was very little comedy, for starters. Very little comedy in their presentation throughout the night. They were competent hosts, but there was nothing that was improved by having two men deliver those lines, except screwing up the timing, except pauses in between all of the jokes between guy A and guy B. If either guy had hosted it with the same material, that would have been a much better show. But the material itself wasn't strong. In fact, when Steve Martin came back at the very end of the show and made the joke about the program being so long that Avatar was now in the past,
right.
That was like, it occurred to me at that moment, hey, that's the first funny thing either one of these guys has said in about 3 hours.
I disagree with you 100%. Completely. I thought they were great, and I thought they were funny throughout.
Funniest Oscars ever.
That's what I thought.
What is wrong with
Unbelievable.
Me?
I was laughing,
unbelievable.
I was laughing hard and out loud every time Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin were on stage.
Hard and out loud. I like both of those guys, but don't you agree with me about how
we
the pacing?
Don't.
No, the pacing
two guys
was great.
Oh, my God.
I thought the pacing was what made the bits.
Kill me.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Listen, don't tempt us. No, but I know for a fact when I'm watching a show, if I'm enjoying it, I know Bean's miserable.
I guess.
I know that's just the way it goes. Maybe it also has something to do with expectations, because going in, I didn't care all that much. I didn't care if it was good. It probably was going to be boring. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you know.
So if you go in with that attitude,
you know,
and then
it's going to be too long and there's going to be slow parts.
It surprised me how good it was.
The only thing I wanted was more of Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
Me too.
Me too.
That's the only thing I was asking for.
Me too.
Wow. All right. Well, let's see what everybody else thought, because some people are, in fact, calling about the Oscars. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I got a feeling for how those people stuck in the rubble in Haiti under a building for 7 days felt watching that show last night. All right, here's what we have for you. How about a CD prize pack of your favorite music, including Alice in Chains' latest, Black Gives Way to Blue, Phoenix's Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, Linkin Park's Minutes to Midnight, Silver Sun Pickup Swoon. You get all of those just for being on the air, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our little friend Chris, who's calling on line 4. He's got the first of our Oscar comments here today. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. What it do?
How's it going, Kevin and me?
Good.
Hi.
What
it do?
What's going on?
Speaking of death at the Oscars, I was just I noticed that they didn't include Farrah Fawcett in their in memoriam segment last night. I was just wondering if maybe Michael Jackson's Over Shadow overshadowed it so much that they just completely forgot.
That seems like a big forget.
I didn't expect her to be in it. I mean, did she do any movies?
Extremities.
Was that a
TV movie?
I don't remember her ever being in a motion picture. That's why I didn't expect her to see it.
You might be right.
How do you have extremities at your fingertips? How do you know that right off the bat?
The Burning Bed and Extremities. Those are the two I remember. But you're right.
Burning Bed was definitely a TV. I don't know about Extremities. But, I mean, could that have been it, Chris, just that she wasn't in the movies?
I just think someone as big as her being known for.
The guy who invented the Frisbee wasn't in it either because he didn't make movies. I mean,
half the guys on that list, I'm sure everybody kind of looked at it and said, who the hell are they? But...
No, but I think Bean's right. I think it's that.
I like the guy that sits there and goes, hey, what about Farrah Fawcett? She was in Logan's Run. What about her?
Let me also say that they continue every... Thank you for the call, Chris. They continue every single year to screw up that In Memoriam segment because, first of all, a bunch of the people are in wide shots. You can't even read the caption on who they are. They put them up there on the screen. Then the people... They do it every year. Second of all, they still have the mics on for the audience, so it becomes a popularity contest where the people that are younger or died most recently get all the applause, and then the other people who are just as dead get none. And that seems kind of tacky, kind of to rate dead people on the Oscars, I think.
You are cranky today.
Bean is very cranky today.
That's been my complaint every single year, and I'm not the only one who said that. A lot of people have said there's a much better way to do that segment than the way they do it.
How about George? Let's talk to George. Hey there.
Hey, what to do, nephew? How are you guys doing?
What to do? We're good.
Great. This is for you guys.
All right.
Hey, wow. What about that John Hughes?
You're entirely too happy with playing a rooster sound effect, sir. It's not that hard.
That was awesome what you did with John Hughes last night. That was great.
I enjoyed that too. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. That was one of the highlights for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Did you have anything to add to that, or just it was great?
No, it was awesome how they brought up the young stars on stage. Yeah. I was like, wow, great! This is cool. This is awesome.
All right. I'm with you. Okay. On that topic, though, I have to say the female stars of the John Hughes movies, time has not been kind to them.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
LCD. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Unfortunately, time hasn't been kind to most women 25 years on. And they're no exception, I guess.
But there was.
I didn't think Molly Ringwald looked bad. I mean, she looked.
She didn't look bad.
Ill prepared to be there. She looked terrified, but she didn't look bad.
Her eyes were completely bonkers.
Bonkers.
Completely bonkers.
Bonkers.
Did you see that? You looked at it and you go, whoa. What's she looking at?
I didn't see that. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's seeing ghosts? What's happening? Her eyes were like three times the size of regular eyes.
And Judd Nelson, he's homeless, right?
What is up with him?
He's homeless, right? He's got to be.
Time wasn't really kind to him either.
No.
Let's try Rachel calling on line two about the Oscars attempt this year to hip it up with bringing a lot of young stars out to present. Hi, Rachel. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Lisa Man, guys.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah, Kristen Stewart, oh my God. Talk about your unprofessionalism on stage.
Yeah.
She slouched. She, coughed in between her lines, and she looked dead. I was like, did she get bitten already on stage from that vampire?
Here's some tape of Kay Stew at the Oscars last night, who, by the way, is always a terrible interview and should never be in front of a camera or a microphone. She, of course, one of the stars of Twilight.
It's been 37 long years since horror had its place on this show when The Exorcist picked up two Academy Awards.
Isn't she an actress, by the way? Shouldn't she know how to read with some sort of understanding of the material in an appropriate way for the lines she's delivering?
You would think,
yeah.
Or do you just barrel through it as fast as you can in a mumbly way while you slouch over the microphone? Is that how you do it?
I'd like to suggest that we not call her Kay Stew.
Thank you. So tonight, we want to give horror films their due and pay tribute to the movies that love to dare us.
They could have gone out onto Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Kodak and picked the first 10 teenage girls they found, and they would have delivered that line better than she did. Yeah, what's the deal with her?
And then they put, introed their tribute to horror, and they put Twilight in it. Is that a horror movie?
Not in my mind.
Not really at all.
No.
I think it's a whole different genre. But yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, she's not...
Good.
Yeah, even my mom realized it.
I'm going to be amazed if she's good as Joan Jett in the Runaways movie, because Joan Jett is a very vibrant person. I mean, she's a rock and roll chick. I don't know that Kristen Stewart is a good enough actress to be able to pull that off and have the energy necessary to sing Cherry Bomb.
Well, maybe she'll be better at that than she is,
In real life?
In real life. That can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Matt. He has a question for you. Hey, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
let me see. I know that Bean wasn't a big fan of the Oscars, but Bean, how come you didn't like Ben Stiller dressed as an Avatar? I mean, that, I thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
I always look forward to Ben Stiller on award shows because he tries real hard to do something funny. I thought that was okay. I mean, the first 15 minutes of him being out on stage making funny sounds with his voice, I guess we're okay.
Wasn't that long? What's wrong with you?
As with everything else, it went on entirely too long. But I always think Ben Stiller brings it. I think he was fine.
I liked the part when he said it was ironic that that Avatar wasn't in the
wasn't nominated. Right. Yeah, that was funny. I thought that was good.
It was pretty
very
funny.
Creative compared to what
I was just glad to see somebody try to be entertaining on the show.
Oh, this is going to be a long day.
I know.
Wow.
Well, what do you want me to do? Come in and say I thought it was great? No, if I didn't? I mean, it was a terrible show.
No, but if you know everyone disagrees with you, maybe back off just a little.
The caller asked me what I thought about Ben Stiller. I'm giving him props for trying, but it went on entirely too long.
All right, take it easy. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Bean has highlights of the Oscars.
Something else to do that break.
I'm not sure. This usually goes poorly, but I think we're going to have Doto today.
Okay.
Oh, really? I didn't even know
even
that.
Even when he confirms it's a 20% chance, so.
I had not heard that he confirmed, and he's been going through me, so I don't know if that's happening.
We're not
going to
have Doto today.
I hope we do.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Got the highlights of Jimmy Kimmel last night. Hope you saw that. That was a very funny special.
Oh, I recorded it. I haven't seen it yet.
Going to ruin it for you then?
Okay.
A great Kevin and Bean instant request. We're going to talk to Matt from Rotten Tomatoes about an Oscar recap.
Okay.
He runs that site where they kind of average together all of the different critics.
Yeah.
And a new feature called People Who Are Better Than Us. Which is pretty much...
that's going to be a long list.
Everyone. So that's coming up. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz.
Rise Against, also Smashing Pumpkins, Muse, and yes, Dramarama, because I guess somebody demanded it. All coming up straight ahead here on the Kevin Bean Show. Time now for our first look for a new week at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Well, of course, everyone's talking about the Oscars, so before we get into Showbiz news, let me give you a quick recap in case you missed it or you haven't heard this morning about the big winners. The best picture of the year, according to the Academy, is The Hurt Locker. Not a lot of people arguing with that. The big surprise and the big grin for a lot of people was that Best Director for the first time ever is a woman. Director of The Hurt Locker, Kathryn Bigelow, won for Best Director. Best Actor, Jeff Bridges, my boy Bridges, came home with the big one. Crazy Heart won him that award.
Was he higher than anyone has ever been?
Except for maybe Woody Harrelson. He must have been.
It's unbelievable.
And I went, thanks, man.
He was more the dude than ever before.
He was the dude.
He is the dude. And by the way, the great thing about Jeff Bridges, I don't think he's high.
Think
that's how he is all the time.
What? The way he talks. He's a hippie.
Yeah. He is a hippie.
He's a throwback.
I've seen him accept awards a couple of times this award season, he seemed way higher this time than usual.
I don't think any award he had affected him the way this one did. He was really rattled by
that's
the
whole
I think he was just general sort of shock and just not being prepared. I think
Man.
It was great to see a standing ovation for Jeff Bridges because if any actor, there are a few actors out there who deserve Oscars, and he's one of them. And I'm so glad he was able to finally get one.
A few actors out there have been as good as he had for 40 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think about it, he's been at it for 40 years. That's a career
right
there.
Smoking weed for 4 years as well.
Hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. Hippies.
Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side as Best Actress. Best Supporting Actor was Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds. Best Supporting Actress, Monique, whose speech was just a kick in the groin.
Yeah.
Wow. You thought she had won the Nobel Peace Prize the way she was up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to thank my husband for telling me that it's not always right to do the popular thing. Sometimes you have to do the right thing. And what was that? The Parkers? Was that the choice you made? That was the right thing?
Yeah, I didn't know what she was referring to either.
No one did. She was so full of herself.
And the other thing was, the first thing she said, Ralph, wasn't it something like thank the Academy for ignoring the politics and rewarding
politics.
The work?
Yes.
Or and what was that about? It's not like there was a vicious slur campaign against her or her movie. It's been nothing but love for the precious kid since the thing came out.
Well, it's a breakthrough for her as a woman who doesn't shave her legs to finally get a big award. I mean, they've been closing those people out for years at the Academy.
The Harry.
They've been denying the Harry Awards for years.
Harry and ungroomed, so that's why.
Yeah, it was a crazy speech, and it made me throw things at my set. And best animated film was Up. No surprise there. It was a great film. So there's your Oscar recap. Here's your box office recap. Just because it was Oscar weekend doesn't mean a lot of people didn't go to the movies. A lot of people went to see Alice in Wonderland, apparently. $116 million this weekend.
Wow.
That's a huge box office.
No kidding.
Brooklyn's Finest, the cop movie with Richard Gere and Wesley Snipes in his return.
That's the one I saw.
Made
how was that?
$13.5 million.
Really good.
Very
not,
good.
13 is not very good compared to 116.
Well, everybody went to see Alice in Wonderland, apparently.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Shutter Island was third, then Cop Out, Avatar, The Crazies, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Valentine's Day, Crazy Heart, and Dear John. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. A lot of people in New York City were panicking last night before the Oscars. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a big dispute between Disney, which of course owns ABC, and Cablevision, one of the big cable providers for New York City.
Right.
And their contract ran out, and there was no ABC on Cablevision.
Oh.
So people were scrambling before the Oscars trying to figure out how to watch them.
Wow.
Some people were going to bars, some people were going to their friend's house. And apparently, they finally brokered a deal about 20 minutes after the Oscars started. And so they put ABC back on that cable system about 20 minutes into the show. So it was a little touch and go for some people there.
That's been going on with different cable companies and different networks on and off the last few years as everybody's trying to get theirs. Here in Seattle, Ralph, we had no ABC on one of the Comcast or one of the cable systems for several months, if you can believe it.
Hmm.
I mean, people who wanted to watch, Grey's Anatomy or whatever, Modern Family, couldn't watch it if they had that cable system. It wasn't on unless they could work out some over-the-air deal. But yeah, the consumer definitely gets hurt when something like that happens.
Yeah. So these things called dishes now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've found out.
The dishes are good.
DirecTV.
Well, a lot of people get cable for whatever reason.
Yeah, because they're bad. That's why. A lot of people are bad. A lot of people are bad.
They may be
cable.
On a different...
If they were good people, they'd have DirecTV because that's how the world works.
I didn't realize
there's two
that.
Different camps of people.
All right.
Jack Nicholson may have everything, fame, fortune, beautiful women at his beck and call, but he's got the same kind of problems that the rest of us have. Jack has raccoons.
Really?
Yes. He's got problems with raccoons in his Hollywood Hills property, so much so now that he is asking his friends when they come to visit him to go out and pee on his property. Apparently someone told Jack that the scent of human urine will keep raccoons away from your property, so if you stop by... He says, if you have to go to the bathroom, please step into my backyard along the side of the house and please pee there, won't you?
Knowing Nicholson, he's just videotaping them.
Yeah, just having them on.
Yeah.
I'd like it if you just pull out your penis in my backyard. Could you do that for me? That'd be great.
He doesn't come to the Oscars anymore, does he?
He missed this year, but he was there last year.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's always weird when they don't have him to go to, because he's there. I guess George Clooney was the new React guy last night, but it was weird to have Nicholson gone.
And this is wrong. I double-checked it, so it's not wrong, but it's wrong.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Morally.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
Her line of shoes, handbags, clothing, beauty products, fragrances.
Don't say it.
And watches.
Don't say it.
How much product do you think she moved this year?
I'm going to hope $250.
This fiscal year, sure, her product line brought in $500 million.
Oh, come on.
That's bullshit.
$500 million was the total sales of all of her fashion lines.
And it's really her just putting her name on.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, her cut, Lisa, she gets, I guess, a 10% deal because she just puts her name on it, basically. So she made around $50 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
From those sales.
Dude. That's bullshit.
And she is, as the French say, sans talent.
Wow.
And yet she makes that kind of coin.
That explains why Billy Corgan is interested in hanging out with her then. Finally. Now we know.
That troubles me.
Yeah, wow.
On many levels.
Wow.
That's your capitalist moment.
That happened.
It sure did. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Christina DeBarge.
Nope.
The latest in the DeBarge family to singing career,
No way is
Kevin.
Christina measure
Christina
up for the...
DeBarge,
no way.
She is the new generation. DeBarge, the next generation.
Nope.
Very popular singer. All the kids love her.
Needs to be stricken from the list.
She's 20 years old today.
Who's her dad?
Who's her daddy?
No one cares.
What's her name? Who's her daddy? That's what he's asking me.
Are those lyrics?
James DeBarge, I think, is her dad.
Okay, all right.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
I don't have any idea. I just wonder.
Kat Von D, our pal.
Yes.
Tattoo artist Kat Von D. She's 28 years old today. James Van Der Beek. Who, of course, starred for many years in Casey's Planet. No, what was that show?
Dawson's
Creek. Yes.
Close enough.
He is 33 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr., speaking of teen stars, is 34 years old, now on 24. Cameron Mannheim.
Oh, my goodness.
Also known as the Mannheim Steamroller. She is 49. Gary Newman. Here in my car. I am here in my car. Look at me in my car. I'm at a red light in my car. Remember that song?
I love that song.
He's 52 years old today. And guitarist Andy Ross of OK Go is 31. Have you seen the new OK Go video?
I have. It's fascinating.
Isn't that a remarkable little piece of filmmaking?
It's fascinating.
One take. They did that thing.
Mm-hmm. But you have to know they did it in 100 tries, though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I know. But the fact that they captured it all finally in one take is pretty exciting.
It's amazing.
If you know what we're talking about, go to OK Go on YouTube, and you can see it. It's just the giant, what they call a Rube Goldberg sort of device, where everything kind of falls into each other and a bunch of stuff happens. And it's an enjoyable couple minutes. He's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph did a story last week about Spencer Pratt and how he was fighting with his dog. And he had the dog had a rope in its mouth, and then mm-hmm. Spencer had the rope in his mouth.
Right.
The dog won. He bit his tongue. That is weird. We got an email. Dear Kevin and Bean, after hearing last week that Spencer from the Hills bit through his tongue fighting with his dog, I wonder if you guys could get Spencer on the phone with the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan.
Oh.
Okay. Good.
Well, he's an expert. Yeah, he could learn a little bit. Yeah.
So time for a Kevin and Bean instant request.
Instant request.
All right, first up, Spencer Pratt. Are you there with us?
What's up, Chief? How you doing, kid?
Hey, you sound good. I thought you bit your tongue. I thought it would be hard to understand you.
You know, I got the best doctors in all of Beverly Hills. Dr. Moosey taking care of my mouth. Sick.
Okay. And let's meet the other half of the instant request, the great dog whisperer himself, Cesar Millan, on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Cesar.
How are you? I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Cesar, did you hear the story that Kevin was just describing? What happened to Spencer when he was playing with his dog? He had a mishap.
This is the first I heard of it. I guess he was injured dealing with his dog. Can you could you elaborate a little bit more? How did this happen?
Well, he was fighting with the dog with a rope, and the dog had the rope in his mouth, so Spencer put the rope in his mouth.
I was playing tug-of-war, kid.
Right.
You know, I had it in my mouth, and the other end was in the dog. I was just trying to get a little fun going with my pup. Well, this is troubling because as a dog owner, you have to be the trendsetter, the trailblazer. You have to let them know that you're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that you're stooping down to his level when you're using the rope. Next time you are eye level with your dog, just headbutt her right in the face.
What?
Well, no, Caesar, you don't mean to say that would hurt the dog.
Hey, don't us.
When you are looking the dog in the eye, you have to let them know that you are in charge.
But
you have to let them know that you are the prom queen of the prom. You are not just some random girl who is lucky to be invited to the prom. You are the prom queen. So you just grab her by the back of the ears and you just hit one.
No.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
Let me show you. I happen to have a chow right here.
Don't do that.
Come here. Phoebe, come here.
Come on.
No. Don't
hurt
the dog.
Caesar.
Sick. All right.
Spencer, don't listen to that. Mr. Millan knows a lot about dogs, but he's dead wrong on this. You never hurt your dog.
I don't know a lot about dogs. I am the dog whisperer. I am the world's foremost expert. Spencer, let me ask you this. In the future, so you can deal with your dog a little bit better, tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself. What makes you tick? What do you like? I like Gucci. But how does that apply to your dog? How does that apply to your dog and your relationship? Well, I have a Gucci collar for my dog. Okay, I see. All right, I want you to add barbed wire to that collar.
No.
So that next time you're giving a walk, you can pull back on the collar, and the doggy will feel a little bit of the pinch, and he will know that you are in charge. Do you understand what I'm saying, Spencer? It sounds like a pretty good idea.
No, that's a terrible idea. What is going on here? We should never have brought these two together. Spencer's already stupid. Don't give him now instructions on bad things to do. Come on.
What else do you like, Spencer? What do you do with your life? What makes you think? Well, I was the world's first synchronized swimmer.
You weren't.
It's not true.
Okay, swimming.
No,
Caesar.
Next time you're in the pool practicing your craft.
No, Caesar.
Bring your dog with you and pull her under the water.
No,
for,
Caesar.
Say,
no.
3 to 4 minute intervals. And just remind her that you are much stronger and much more. You know, I happen to have a chihuahua with me.
Please don't. Is this. This is
Miguel, come here. Come here. God, you like the water, don't you?
Do we have.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Take the dog.
Come on.
Caesar. Right.
You. That's terrible. Caesar, let him up.
I don't think it.
Does it work the other way?
Caesar, come on. Is she okay?
I don't think Miklo's going to make it through this one. I apologize.
Come on.
I was the world's largest pumpkin farmer.
Okay, we're going to put an end to this right now before we lose any more dogs.
Next time you grab one of those large pumpkins, go ahead and just throw it at one of the puppies.
Okay, all right, we're done now. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The award season is finally over. Last night was the big one, the 82nd Annual Academy Awards. What was the deal with the show opening with bringing out 10 of the best actor and actress nominees to stand on the stage?
I don't know.
And just stand there.
I don't know.
I could do anything.
I kind of liked it just because I think they were just trying to do it a different way.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And I applaud trying to do it a different way. And sometimes it doesn't really work, but at least they tried.
It was okay.
Well, they came out there and stood, and then 7 hours and 25 minutes later at the very end of the show, Tom Hanks gave out the biggest prize of the night.
And the winner is the Hurt Locker.
Which I guess is in the record books already as being the lowest grossing Best Picture Academy Award winner ever. It only made $12.5 million at the box office.
Wow.
But it's sure a movie that, I mean, compared to, you know, Avatar, its chief competition, which has made, what, $1.5 billion or something like that? But it's certainly a movie everybody has heard of today, and we thought we'd get a different perspective on the Oscars by welcoming Matt Achitate to the show. He is the editor-in-chief of a site I visit every single week, RottenTomatoes.com. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm sure you had a late night last night, and you're almost all Oscared out, but we did want to get your take. Before we talk about last night's show, tell folks who haven't been to the site what RottenTomatoes.com is all about.
We run numbers based on what the critics say. So if you want to see what any particular critic is saying about a particular movie, we're listing all of those, and we run what we call a tomato meter, which is a measure of how many critics recommend a film. So I can tell you that Hurt Locker is at 97%. 97% of the critics say that it's a great movie.
Oh, so it's like a summary of all of the critics.
It is. Okay. Exactly. And then any movie that's above 60%, we call fresh, and anything below that, we call rotten.
All right.
Almost all the nominees last night were fresh, except for, I think, 9. The movie that Penelope Cruz was nominated for.
Right.
Was not fresh at all, actually.
That was the opposite of fresh.
And that was reflected at the box office. That movie way underperformed for the amount of stars that it had in it and the studio behind it and all the press and everything they did. The Hurt Locker is amazing to me because, like I said, I go to your site all the time. You very, very rarely, am I right, see a movie that gets over 90% critical faves.
You know, that is somewhat unusual. You know, we'll see it somewhat in indie releases from time to time. But for major releases, it is rare, especially as high as that was. I mean, really only about 4 or 5 critics gave it the thumbs down. And, you know, really it's almost universal acclaim.
And the weird thing about that movie was it came out almost a year ago.
It came out really, really early. You know,
I mean, it's already out on DVD. If you want to see The Hurt Locker, you can get it on DVD right now.
Right. Well, you know, Hurt Locker made its debut at Toronto in 2008 at the very end of the year. And then, you know, it didn't get released into theaters until, I think, March
of last year.
So,
a year ago.
2009, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, we worked with a lot of critics to really, you know, make sure that they had their reviews up, and the distributor, Summit Entertainment, really, you know, clued into that as well, and really, you know, were pitching the kind of the critics' reactions as to help get that movie
right.
really in more theaters. And really, even Catherine Bigelow said last night that if it wasn't for the critical community really championing the film, then, you know, not as many people would have seen it. It probably wouldn't have gotten nominated.
Right. So, interesting.
You know, that's what's great about critics is they can really help expose a movie that may not really get a lot of acclaim. Otherwise.
Right. And there's a large group of movies, a certain kind of movie, Matt, tell me if I'm right about this, that it doesn't matter what the critics say. They're bulletproof. Cop Out maybe is a recent example of a movie that very few people liked, but it's a huge box office hit, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a huge hit. I mean, it only did $16 million when it opened, so, you know, I wouldn't say that that's gargantuan. But that being said, I enjoyed Cop Out. I thought it was funny. I think that in this particular case, a lot of times critics were saying, you know, come on, Kevin, you can do better.
Yeah, well,
you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, there are certain movies. I mean, you know, look at Alice in Wonderland, right? Like Alice in Wonderland's in the high 50s, which is just under the dividing line for
right,
us.
Right.
But the movie made $116 million.
Yeah, there are a lot of movies that just people don't pay attention to critics. I'm a person who I don't care about any single critic. Yeah. I mean, maybe the summary like you have, if it's, you know,
I
extreme,
do go and look at that.
If it's extreme one way or the other, maybe, but for the most part, you know, Cop Out was not getting good reviews. I went to see it, and I liked it.
Enjoyed it.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people are really, you know, for the most part, people are really good at picking movies that they think they're going to like.
Right.
Right? And picking movies that they end up liking. So, you know, I'm not going to fault anyone for seeing Alice in Wonderland. I don't think it's a terrible movie. I think that we've seen better movies out of Tim Burton.
Sure,
right, right.
You know, it's not his best film, and I think that that's what happened in a lot of reviews. They're saying, come on, you know, again, it's, you know, like they did with Kevin Smith. Come on, Tim, you can do better than this.
This is the voice of Matt Achety. He's on the line from RottenTomatoes.com. He's the editor-in-chief there. Look, Avatar is a critical success as well as the biggest commercial success of all time. It's number one box office around the world. Had the Oscars happened 2 months ago, you get the feeling that Avatar would have swept the night. James Cameron would have won. It would have won Best Film. How did the tide change so much as we crept closer to the Oscar date?
You know, I think there's a few things going on. I think it was really telling, if you look at the nominations, that Avatar didn't get nominated for any acting awards, and it didn't get nominated for any writing awards.
Yeah, it shouldn't have,
you
by
know?
The way.
And arguably it shouldn't have,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe for Zoe Saldana, maybe.
The
right?
special effects were by far the star of that movie, and they deserve all the accolades, but the storyline to me was kind of...
Well, right. And that's the thing. So, you know, the question is, you know, is a movie that has such flaws in the script and in some of the acting, is that really worthy of being named Best Picture? And I think that, you know, a lack of nominations, especially from the acting branch of the Academy, which is the largest voting block, it's something like 25%, almost a quarter of the Academy. You know, if they're not going to get behind the movie, then you've kind of got an uphill battle to actually get the win.
My biggest complaint was that The Hangover was not one of the 10. Were you surprised by that?
I was somewhat surprised. I'll tell you, along those lines, I was surprised to see The Blind Side make it in.
Yes.
You know, pleasantly surprised. But, you know, my thought was, you know, when they went to 10 nominees, really as a reaction to last year's awards where the Dark Knight arguably got snubbed out of the Best Picture
right.
category, you know, they were definitely trying to get some more popular movies in there. And I think they absolutely did. But the flip side is, you know, the Academy very easily could have gone with 10 indie movies, right? And you saw movies that snuck in there like An Education.
Right.
That probably wouldn't have gotten a nomination before.
Right.
So.
Right. There were virtually no surprises at any of the awards last night, with the possible exception of the Adapted Screenplay Writing Award, which went to Precious. I think most people thought that Jason Reitman was going to get that for Up in the Air. Was there anything else on the show that surprised you at all?
You know, I was a little surprised that they gave it to... Fiore for Best Cinematography for Avatar. I will say I was a little surprised. Not that I think it didn't deserve it.
What did you think was going to win that?
I thought that was going to go with Hurt Locker just because it was a more traditional
right.
kind of look. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit surprised because I think that giving Best Cinematography to a movie like Avatar does, you know, require a certain amount of, I don't know, awareness on the part of the Academy that, you know, cinematography for a movie that is half animated still requires that same level of skill.
Right.
Yeah, interesting point. Do you agree with us that Monique should be required to shave her legs now that she's an Oscar winner?
I think she might be required to not be talking about the open marriage.
Yeah, that happened too last night.
That doesn't make anyone feel warm and fuzzy inside, that's for sure. Let me just get an opinion from you real quick, because we're almost out of time, but it's awesome that we had you on. We appreciate it. What's Christoph Waltz going to do next? Because he is the acting find of the year in Inglourious Basterds, a guy that most Americans had never heard of. I'm so happy for him. It wasn't a surprise that he won, but it's one of the most brilliant performances any of us have ever seen in a film. Is he going to go on and have a Hollywood career now, or is he going to go back to Germany?
No, I think he is. I think we're going to see him pop up as villains for 3 or 4 years at least. He's got something lined up, and honestly, it's escaping me at the moment. He's got something relatively high profile. I think it's a comic book movie, and I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, if you guys recorded Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, or you want to go back to the site, he was on that with a very, very funny piece.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of it. It was great.
It was really good.
And he's great. You know, I'll tell you what was funny, though, is in the press room last night, as people were asking him questions, you know, the first 3 or 4 journalists were all asking him questions in German.
Okay.
And so he's answering in German. The rest of us in the press room were like, okay, come on, we don't understand
him. Hey, we're in America. How about that?
It's not helpful.
And by the way, remember, in the movie, in Inglourious Basterds, he speaks German, he speaks French, he speaks Italian, he speaks English. I mean, the guy is just a miracle. He really is. Well, listen, Matt, we're out of time, but we are big fans of Rotten Tomatoes. As I mentioned, we look at it all the time, and it really is a great overview if you just want to, you know, you want to get a variety of opinions on the movie you're planning to go see that weekend. You should definitely check out RottenTomatoes.com. And Matt, we'd like to have you back on some other time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye. Find out how Jimmy Kimmel ended up in bed with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner coming up in about 20 minutes. Kevin's got some highlights of the Jimmy Kimmel Live after the Oscars special from last night. Also, why you never want to go to a fast food restaurant with Kevin. Boy, it's an action-packed hour for you next hour.
First, though, let's talk about people who are better than us. These stories come along all the time, and we read them, and we go, wow. Wow, that makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. There's so many stories that you see on the news that you go, if I were in that situation, I would be dead.
It would be a total massive failure.
And the one that I keep thinking of, and I don't know which one you've got here, was the guy a couple years ago who got caught in between some rocks while he was hiking. And he sawed his own arm off. Remember that dude?
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Look, I would just wither up and die. I would just starve to death there in the mountain because I would never, ever, ever, no matter how desperate the situation or how much I knew it was the only way to save my life, have the courage to saw my own arm off. I couldn't do it. That person is alive today and is better than we are.
I would say to myself, good run. You know? Had a good run.
Sucks it had to end this way, but oh well.
All right. No, this one is a different story. And when I tell you, you'll understand why it makes us feel like there are many people who are better than us.
People that are better than us. People that make us feel like crap.
British helicopter pilot shot between the eyes keeps flying to save 20 soldiers.
Oh, shut up. Right there, I don't believe you.
Flight Lieutenant Ian Fortune was going in to rescue 20 Marines that were injured in the fight. They were fighting the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
20
this
guys.
Is American we're talking about. American soldier we're talking about?
I think it's a British helicopter pilot, but I think they were American soldiers that he was rescuing. Okay. Anyway, they were injured. The dude's flying in, and they say it's too hot. There's too many people shooting. You're going to have to circle for a minute because it's not safe. Finally, they say, okay, it's calmed down a little bit. See if you can get in. We need to take some of these people out or they're going to die. So he lands the helicopter, and they start loading in people. And then the bullets start flying.
Oh. Hmm.
And a bullet hits the pilot in between the eyes.
Well, how does that not kill him instantly?
His head snaps back, and blood starts pouring out of his forehead.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how it didn't kill him instantly. It must have been the smallest.
Maybe a ricochet or...
Even so, it must have been just another just millimeter away, and he's dead probably, right?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, like it skimmed the brain but didn't go through it or something, right?
But it went between his eyes. Okay, so as a pilot right now, I'm doing what they do in soccer. I'm taking a dive. I just go, oh, I fall to the ground. I'm dead. I'm moving on. He holds on while they're loading on more victims, more people that are hurt. And he waits and he waits, and the bullets are just going crazy. And he's bleeding into his eyes.
Okay.
And then,
like, don't worry, just a flesh wound.
And then a bullet hit the Chinook's controls and shut down the stabilization system.
Oh my God!
So you don't need that to fly a helicopter.
Now the helicopter has no stabilization system. So he's like, I don't want to hurry anyone, but I got shot between the eyes, and there's no stabilization system. Can we move it along? So they
and we're out of orange juice on this flight. So just have a seat.
So they load the army dudes in, and he starts flying again with no stabilization. He fights it as it's moving back and forth, trying to spin out of control. He's holding on to it with a bullet between the eyes.
Oh my God!
Flies 8 minutes. Makes it to the base, saves all 20 guys, and then goes and gets looked at. He was in the hospital for a little while, but he got out, and he was okay.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Right? I mean, I would have just... The first bullet shows up, I'm just going to start crying like a little girl.
Yeah.
Now,
right between the eyes.
One time, I told a lady at the gas pump next to me that she had left her gas cap on her roof. I leaned out the window and let her know so she didn't drive off with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I mean, that's comparable.
Yeah.
Right? How much better is this guy than I am? I helped that lady. I didn't have to say anything. She could have just driven off and lost her gas cap. I was there for her.
Yeah, that's the same. That's just the same.
People that are better than us. People that make us feel like crap.
The post-Oscar mortem continues on The Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here talking about the Academy Awards last night and everything else in the world of showbiz. What's happening, Ralph?
For those who missed the awards last night or just don't care, too bad, because I'm going to talk about them more. Just to give you highlights of the big winners last night, The Hurt Locker was the big winner by far. Not only did it pick up Best Picture, but also the director, Kathryn Bigelow, won for Best Director. First time ever a woman director has won that award from the Academy. So congratulations. Biggs, that's what we call her on the set.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Were you on the set?
I was on a set once. Not her set.
Not hers, okay. Hey, for all these people getting all excited about a woman winning this award, I would like to point out that it's still men 81, chicks 1, all right? So let's not get too thrilled.
Wow, how to put a negative spin on
that.
Well, I'm just
way
saying.
To kick them when they're down.
Look, even the Clippers win a game every once in a while. It doesn't make them good. Imagine how much better the Hurt Locker could have been if they had a dude direct it. Come on. Yeah. Who's with me?
No one.
Just Mike, right? I got Mike.
It was a perfect movie. You're bad.
How bitter, by the way, was Barbara Streisand, who presented that award last night.
Because she'd been nominated for Best Director and never won.
She's always wanted to be the first female director to win an Oscar.
Every time she comes on, it just lays over.
And she's like, oh, here you go. And she's like, I'll hold it for you. She really said that on stage.
Yes, she did.
It was like, me hold it.
No, it's okay. I got it. I'm good. I'm fine.
And the winner is... Well, the time has come.
But it sure should have come 30 years ago when it was me being nominated. Me.
Freaking Yentl. What about Yentl, people?
She started to scream backstage. Jeff Bridges, the man, the myth, the legend, won for Crazy Heart last night. Glad to see that. Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side. All right. She seems
like
nice enough.
Speech,
give her an award.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good speech.
Yeah.
Speaking of good speeches, I thought Christoph Waltz's was good.
Me too.
Yeah.
Very well put together, I thought. The guy had given it some thought. He almost lost me when he made the left, and he was circumnavigating the globe, and he was looking for a new continent, and then I started to put it all together.
Going a different way.
Very articulate man.
Monique won for Best Supporting Actress. Speaking of speeches, what the hell was she talking about?
I don't know.
Apparently there was a big political movement to keep her from winning.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
She says after she's won like 80 acting awards this season.
Yeah.
And Best Animated Film was Up, so congratulations to all the winners last night. Box office results for the weekend are surprising. Alice in Wonderland was expected to do well, but not $116 million worth of well.
Wow.
That's a huge opening weekend. Brooklyn's Finest came in at number 2 with $13.5 million, then Shutter Island. Cop Out, Avatar, The Crazies, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Valentine's Day, Crazy Heart, and Dear John rounding out your top 10. At the box office. I bet you they wish Hurt Locker was still in theaters.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you Summit Entertainment wishes they had left it out there a little bit longer, because certain people certainly would rush to go see this.
I think
Crazy Heart will benefit from Jeff Bridges' win, that's for sure. That's still in theaters. Congratulations to Jenna Elfman. She gave birth to a baby boy named Easton last Tuesday here in Los Angeles.
Easton?
Easton Elfman.
Come on.
Scientology approved name, is that on the list?
Stop it.
Easton Elfman.
Stop it.
Her and her husband, Bodie Elfman, already have a 2.5-year-old named Elias. So Elias and Easton Elfman.
Come on!
We'll be hanging out together saying, do you know any other initial other than E?
Did her TV show this season already get canceled, or did it not ever air, or what happened with that?
Accidentally on Purpose has been on CBS.
It has aired. Okay.
All season long. It's been on.
It has been all season?
Yes.
Huh. It's still on? It hasn't been canceled?
On.
Oh, all right.
I believe it is on what they say, the bubble.
Mm.
In terms of ratings, whether it will be back next season or not is anyone's guess.
Bean, do you remember how much she hated me? Jenna Elfman.
Well, you hate her religion, that's why. You come down to her religion, man.
She's making some jokes.
How do you think she feels, man?
I can tell you how she feels. She was like, very upset.
It's like you're a Nazi and she's a Jew. That's what, the way she looks at you.
Nothing like
that. Especially that bleach blonde hair and that Christoph Waltz Nazi demeanor of yours.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you're a Nazi, is what I'm saying.
I'm the opposite of that.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with the Hitler memorabilia then?
Exactly. Just like Meryl Streep. Kevin's got something in his garage he'd like to explain.
That was funny.
Olivia Munn
has
a new boyfriend, if you believe the New York Post, page 6. Apparently, she's been seen with Jamie Foxx, speaking of Oscar winners.
Huh. He's a major poonhound, right?
Oh, yeah, he loves the ladies.
Sure.
So Olivia's either another one on the list, or perhaps this will be something more.
Good for him.
Olivia likes famous dudes.
Yeah.
Much we know.
She does.
She likes to be around famous people and fame.
She's great in bed.
What? Kevin, are you trying to say that you did that with her?
Oh, I'm sorry. No one else is yelling?
No.
Oh.
I'm done.
Katy Perry and Russell Brand have decided they're going to be bi.
All right.
Oh.
Ha-ha. Got you all, didn't I?
Yes.
Wacky.
Apparently just popped $3 million for a new home here in Southern California.
Okay.
The home has 4 bedrooms. $3 million for a 4-bedroom home, by the way. Seems a little out of whack for me. 4.5 baths, an amazing landscape, pool, view, apparently. And, of course, a teepee in the backyard.
Well, yeah.
You got to have a teepee in this day and age,
I have a teepee.
Right?
You can't use the F word, Ralph.
You couldn't help it.
Sometimes you have to use it.
It's a valid question.
And that was one of those times.
It's a valid question.
There's nothing better on a on a sunny day than being outside in your teepee.
But you're not outside if you're in your teepee, by the way.
Well,
you're inside, only wrapped by deer skin instead of walls.
But it's kind of nice to have shade and a place for the beverage.
I think Bean's a lot like Doto. He's got an active imagination. He just goes, I have a teepee.
he hears something and he just admits to it.
Right.
That's what you thought about my Where the Wild Things Are suit, too, by the way.
That's true.
I do have a teepee. It's in the basement right now because, it's the winter.
Well, sure. It's not teepee weather.
As soon as spring hits, teepee's right back out. It's awesome.
That's what the Native Americans used to do. They would take their teepees and put them in the basement when things got bad, when the weather got bad.
Their beautiful homes.
Yeah, they would pack up. They would get their multi-million-dollar homes. They would pack up their teepees and put them in the basement.
You don't have a teepee.
Wait for better bison weather, then go out there and shoot some bows and arrows.
I'm saying liar, no teepee.
I'm saying go F yourself and die.
Oh, my God.
It came up on the show. I thought it'd be worth mentioning.
I have a teepee. Talking about
Katy Perry's teepee, I got a teepee. That's all.
Douche.
You have a horn.
Celebrity birthdays. Gary Numan. He sang that song, Cars. That's all you need to know. He's 52 years old today. Cameron Manheim Steamroller is 49 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 34. James Vanderbeek. That's what we were calling Kevin for a while. Wearing that bandage on his nose. James Vanderbeek is 33 years old today.
Now he's in Mercy is his TV show, I guess. He's one of the stars of that Mercy show. That
is
NBC,
that on the Lisa May network?
No, it's on NBC.
It's not on my network.
It doesn't exist. Mercy. There's no show Mercy.
Is that a hospital?
Yeah, it's like the other one that NBC had about the paramedics. It's that kind of a show, the ones where the ambulance drivers
drama or whatever that was.
Yeah, something
Third
like that.
Watch or something.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one. It's like that.
I have a hospital in my backyard too.
Yes, I've got my own EMT team standing by here in my closet.
You're a liar, sir. You do not have a teepee.
Tattoo artist Kat Von D is 28 years old today. I have a tattoo of a teepee as well. También.
And Kat Von D in it.
And Christina DeBarge celebrates her 20th birthday today.
She does not count.
She is the latest in the legendary DeBarge family of music.
She's not a star.
Listen, Belle.
Yeah, she's way hot.
Oh,
way
is
hot.
She hot? Yeah. I didn't know what she was like.
Christina is way hot. And we are going to hear some of her music a little bit later on today.
Let's talk to Rob for just a second. Hey, Rob.
Hey.
You have a TP too?
I
have a teepee. The kids love it. You bring it to school. It's
you bring it to school.
You bring it to school.
What is it? A mini teepee? The pocket size teepee?
22-foot teepee pole. Throw them on the top of the Suburban, and 14-foot. You put the whole classroom in there.
Wow, teepees are fun, right?
They're a great time. Everybody should really have a teepee.
All right,
I agree. Good. I agree. Thank you, Rob.
What do you think about a guy who has a teepee that doesn't have kids? I know.
Yeah, right. Creepy, right? He has a creepy. It's not a teepee, it's a creepy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show the day after the Academy Awards and the day after our friend Jimmy Kimmel's latest post-Academy Awards special. Man, he does a great job. By the way, I don't expect Jimmy to ever host the Oscars, but he'd sure do a good job if he did.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
He's been great at other shows, including the American Music Awards and other shows that he's hosted, but he really puts on an entertaining post-Oscar special with lots of stars, lots of surprises. Kevin, you stayed up late and watched it last night.
Yeah, it didn't come on until like 10, because the Oscars went late and then they did the news.
Right.
But he did a skit where he had just about everyone in Hollywood called the Handsome Men's Club. And he was the president of the Handsome Men's Club. And people would, you know, Robert Pattinson would send in a headshot and they would vote.
Oh, really?
Whether he was handsome enough to be in the Handsome Men Club. Sting was in it.
Okay.
John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Tay Diggs. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt. Ben Affleck.
Wow.
Matt Damon. Matthew McConaughey. Patrick Dempsey. I mean, it was ridiculous the people that he had. Lenny Kravitz.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo, right. So it was just, it was crazy. And they were all sitting around a table. They were voting on who was, you know, handsome enough to be in the club. Matthew McConaughey finally speaks up and says, you know, I'd like to vote on the fact that Jimmy's not handsome. And maybe we need to kick him out of the club. So they all voted, and they decided to kick poor Jim out of his own club.
Aww.
Good luck staying alive.
You're fat.
You're fat. I'm handsome. I'm a lot more handsome than a lot of you. Look at Romo. Look at the size of his ears. Right? Can't even get his hat on front ways ever.
Burned.
Because his ears are so big.
Yep.
That's John Krasinski, who's like his brown nosing. Burn. Yep. And this is where Lenny Kravitz comes in. All of a sudden, Jimmy's talking, and Lenny Kravitz is behind him on the keyboard.
Handsome doesn't come from here. Handsome comes from here.
The heart.
Yeah, I have flaws.
I have flaws.
Maybe my eyes are too piercing.
My eyes are too piercing.
And maybe my skin is too soft and smooth.
My skin's too soft.
And maybe I have the breasts of a 14-year-old girl.
The supple breasts of a 14-year-old girl!
That doesn't mean anything. What's important is I'm handsome with inside.
From the within side!
That's what matters. Physical beauty fades.
Beauty fades!
Look at Sting.
Look at Sting!
I believe that children are our future.
I believe
Lenny,
that...
please, I'm trying to talk here. Could you give it a rest?
I had your back, punk-ass bitch.
So Jimmy gets upset and storms out and is making his final speech to the Handsome Men's Club and quoting a clip from his favorite book. And then Matt Damon shows up and slams the door in his face.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you guys know that bit, but Jimmy Kimmel has for 7 years now said that he... Sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
Yes.
You know, before I go, though... I want to leave you gentlemen with a parting thought from my favorite book, Self Matters, by Dr. Philip McGraw. Dr. Phil teaches us that when the rooster... Sorry, Kimmel.
We ran out of time.
And then... Jimmy wakes up in bed and it's all a bad dream.
Oh, of course it is.
And he rolls over to tell his lover, Ben Affleck, about the dream. And he's very worried that maybe Ben doesn't think that he's handsome because in the boardroom, Ben voted against him. Yeah.
You know I think you're handsome. You're my handsome. You're my most handsome. You're my big handsome. You're big daddy handsome.
Ben, it's enough. It's getting weird.
Jennifer Garner.
He's got the breast of a 14.
Yeah, it's
is still so weird for me.
Me too.
Jimmy's a big star and a completely legitimate television personality, and I'd watch him if I didn't know him and like him, but it's just so weird to think of all those years he's doing sports for us, and now you turn on your TV after the freaking Oscars, he's in bed with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. You're like, what universe is this happening?
And then Jennifer Garner turns off the lights.
Clapper.
The clapper.
It's a great video, by the way. You can see it at kevinandbean.com. It was posted late last night, so it's available for you if you didn't stay up and watch it. But good times. Good.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Tycho Everson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yep, that happened. 19 minutes after 7.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, my ears are still ringing from the conversation in the office on Friday after the show.
Why was everyone yelling at me?
Everyone was yelling at Kevin, and it was so heated. I don't know if this happens, you find Kevin to be listener, if this happens at your work, but you start a conversation innocently enough. Hey, you know what ticks me off? It ticks me off when? And then the next thing you know, 30 people are standing around all screaming at each other. I mean, my ears hurt as a result of that. And what started it, Kevin, was a couple of fairly casual remarks that you made about going to fast food restaurants, right?
Well, yeah, I have rules for fast food restaurants, and it depends on if there are a lot of people in line behind you.
Okay.
Because if it's a busy area and it's a busy time and there are six cars behind you, follow these rules and stay out of the way.
So you're not talking about just rules that you follow. You're talking about rules that you believe everyone should follow that frequents a fast food restaurant.
When it's busy. If it's not busy, I don't care.
Okay.
If there's someone behind you, here are the rules you have to follow. You go to an expensive restaurant, for example. They have a chef who's great. They have waiters and waitresses who've worked a long time. That's their career. They're making a lot of money. They know what they're doing. They're confident. That's not fast food restaurants. Fast food restaurants is they just slap it together, and they're either tards or ex-cons or mainly like high schoolers smoking weed. They don't care. They're not
right.
They're not good.
This is not a career trajectory.
No. They're not interested in your special order. So my rule is no special orders. If you're going through a drive-through restaurant, you're automatically signing up. And I do, by the way, all of them. I love fast food. I go to McDonald's. I go to Burger King. I go to all of them. Taco Bell.
Okay, help me out here. What do you mean by a special order?
Don't the change reason it. I, order something the, that it like, says right there on the thing. It,
like saying no onions
right.
or dry.
Really?
Or,
but what if you don't, like in my case, I hate tomatoes, as you know. If I want to go to Wendy's or someplace where they put a tomato on a chicken sandwich and I don't want the tomato, isn't it okay to say no tomato?
Is there anyone behind you in a car?
Yes.
Then park and go inside.
All right. How about inside? Is it okay inside?
Yes. I think it's okay inside.
Even if it's crowded?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Because cars, you really do have an expectation. If you're going through a drive-thru, you're expecting speed.
Yeah, like there's really nothing worse than being in a drive-thru for 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
You want people to roll at about 2-3 miles per hour, throw their money into the window, have the food toss into the window, and just keep on moving. So no special orders, A.
But by the way, I almost never go through a drive-thru because in my experience, it is almost always faster to go inside.
Okay, but that's my point.
True. Yeah.
That's my point. That's because people don't do it right in the drive-thru.
Okay. No special orders.
Just read something off the menu. You're already signing up for crap food. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I love crap food, but that's what I'm signing up for. When I go through the drive-thru, I go, I want some crap food. Okay. So you're not going to special order and make it all great. Just order something. Now, here's rule number two, and this is when everybody started yelling at me. Don't check the bag. Take what they give you. Shovel it down your throat and move out of the way.
So
don't even check it.
So just go home.
Yes.
And whatever's in the bag,
grab bag.
That's what you got.
Just eat whatever it is.
Yeah. And nobody agreed with you.
Right. That's when everybody started yelling
agree
at
with
me.
You. Because it's always wrong.
Right. But you can. That's a guarantee when you go into the drive-thru. You signed up for that. I want a bag of crap and it's not going to be what I order. And that's okay with me. That's the solemn deal that you're making with the fast food restaurant.
You go to a drive-thru 3 times a day. That's fine for you. I go 3 times a year. I want what I want.
Right.
And I don't think
Walk
it takes
inside.
More than 5 seconds to look in the bag and make sure it's right. It just doesn't take that
long. You haven't
been
behind other people who it seems to take a half hour. They have to look at every
French
fry.
I think you should be able to look in the bag.
I know you do. And I'm going to shove you right out of the way if I'm behind you in a car. I'm just saying, if it's crowded and people are expecting to keep moving and you're at a fast food restaurant, just order something on the menu and just take what they give you and be happy.
No.
That's it.
No.
And move on and get out of the way because there's six other people to be disappointed behind you. And they shouldn't have to wait for your ass to look at the bag to be disappointed.
Well, why do I even bother ordering? Why don't I just open up a bag and let him throw something in and even, throw some money and drive away?
Even better. That would,
what's the point?
That would speed things up a great amount.
That's ridiculous.
By the way, we are going to take some calls if you have comments on or have other fast food rules of your own at 1-800-520-1067. You can dial in on this topic right now. I have a couple of questions.
But wait,
here.
Let me clarify one more thing before your question.
Okay.
A lot of times these special orders are not just hold the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people are super picky. And you hear them say, I want it done this way, and no bun, and make it medium, and that, that, that. And they have like a list of seven things. I mean, if no tomatoes is the most specific you ever got, probably not a big deal.
I can get an exception from the king?
Depends on how many cars are behind you.
You will have tomato on it.
If there are two.
You know that.
Right, just take it off.
Let me go to Lisa's point. If you're in the drive, look, I rarely do the drive through, and I do check my bag if I'm in the restaurant itself, but I do it out of line. When they hand me my bag, I step over, look at it out of line, and then if there's a problem, I go back up to the counter. But in the drive-through though, I mean, part of the reason you're going through the drive-through is because you don't want to park and get out and walk in the restaurant, okay? So if you pull out as your food is handed to you and it does turn out to be wrong.
Then get out and walk in.
You're hosed, though.
That's part of your deal, dude.
That's part of your deal.
That's the deal
that's
you're
not
making.
My deal.
The deal you're making with the restaurant is good luck. If you want to be specific about what they give you, then walk in. Otherwise, just drive through, hold up a bag, let them throw whatever they want in, and just cram it down your pie hole.
I do not accept your deal.
I do remember a time that I drove home. I did go through the drive-thru, and I did drive home, and it was every kind of animal I don't eat when I got home. It wasn't like I could just accept it like it was a different, they gave me a different chicken sandwich. I mean, it was all moo and all oink, and I was like, now what am I supposed to do with this? And now it's been like 20 minutes. I'm not going to get in the car and drive back to the place.
I'd like to suggest a guy like yourself who doesn't eat any meat. I don't know. Maybe not fast food for you.
But they sell other
stuff.
Maybe go
someplace else.
I do
chicken.
Just say.
But what I'm saying is, in that case, I should have checked the bag.
It did not serve me well to not check the bag. Here's what.
And then what?
Get out of the people's way. Check the bag, and if they don't have it right, a lot of times they'll tell you to pull out of the line, and they'll get it.
You know
for
why? Because you should pull out of the line.
No, I like to give them that option.
That's nice of you.
All right. We got a lot of calls coming in at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Phil? He works in fast food on line 4, and he's got something he wants to add to the conversation. Hi, Phil. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I worked in a drive-thru restaurant for like 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And another thing that kind of ruins everything is when people order a ridiculous amount of food in the drive-thru because all the cars after them are just livid.
Yeah. You mean they order for the office, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Exactly. I would say a good thing to do would be keep your order to a minimum.
Sure.
So if you have a big order, go inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hey, why is, help us understand this, because we were just discussing how often the order gets handed to you in a bag and it's wrong. How does that happen as much as it does in a drive-thru? I mean, the person at the window is the person who's, kind of directing which food goes where, right?
Bean, did you not hear my explanation of who works there?
Well, let's ask Phil. I have confidence in Phil.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Why is the order wrong every time? Not every time, but I'd say 80%.
I would say that most fast food restaurants use a timer to time the car's time at the actual window.
Right.
And it keeps track of all the time, so that's how they judge their progress.
And how much do the employees that are not management care?
Very little,
That's what I'm talking about. Take what you get.
At the fast food restaurant that you were working at, how many seconds per car did they want you to turn over?
30 seconds or less.
30 seconds or less. That never happens.
That doesn't happen
at the window.
Well,
yeah.
It does if you don't care about getting the
order
right.
If people follow my rules, you're talking 30 seconds. Come on now.
Thank you for the call, Phil. Psycho Mike, you wanted to weigh in with something real quick before we come back with more calls.
No, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Phil hit it right on the nose. If you have five, six people in your car, the drive-thru is not for you.
Yeah.
Go inside, especially you're coming home from the AYSO soccer game. You have 11 kids in your car. None of them know what they want. So then when you, by the time you actually get to the drive-thru and, you know, to order, you have to sit there and decipher what all these different people want, and then it turns into a mess. Not nice for the people behind you. Go inside.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And by the way, you're going to have to pay for the food. Maybe think of that ahead of time.
That's a good point.
You know, like when you get up to the window and they say that'll be $7, you go, oh, yeah. I got some money here somewhere.
No! Start going through a change under the seat. All right. What do you think of Kevin's fast food rules? Do you have any others you would like to add? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, the day after the 82nd and 83rd and 84th Annual Academy Awards. They may still be going on for all I know. We'll have highlights coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now, though, Sam is on your side, Kevin, with the fast food topic. My dear Kevin, I'm on board with your policy. Grab a bag of crap. That's what you get. The drive-thru is for speed and speed alone.
Right.
Anything fancy, you should walk your fat, fast food-eating ass inside. Kevin was just giving us his drive-thru rules. For folks who are just joining us, what are the two main rules, Kevin?
Well, if there's anyone behind you, you can't special order.
Okay.
And you take the bag that they give you and drive off. Now, you can pull over and check it if you want, but don't check it at the window.
That's just so generous of you to allow me to pull over and check it.
Just get out of the way. If there's people behind you, get out of the way. Just get out of the way.
All right. Let's take some calls. If you have a comment on what Kevin's saying or you have something you want to add, maybe you've got your own fast food rules, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Cody? Cody's on line two, and he's calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Just say what, Cody?
Hey, I think the number one rule for working through a drive-through window is don't piss off the people that are working.
Uh-oh, this is one of those guys that's done that stuff that we've had those call-ins about.
Yes.
Extra sauce and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, you piss off. These guys are simple-minded. They work for the lowest bidder. You do not want to piss them off. You piss them off, you're going to find something in your burger or whatever the hell it is you're ordering.
Yeah, a little extra.
Okey-dokey.
Yep.
Hey, people in the world you should never piss off are people who handle food before it gets to you. That's absolutely 100% true. That doesn't matter whether you're in the toniest restaurant of all time or a drive-thru window. You will eat phlegm if you piss off the wrong person. All right, let's try Kellen on line three. Hi, Kellen. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, what really gets me this morning is people who get up to the window and want to add on to their order.
Okay, that's right. Not to do that.
No, that's right. You order what you order, and you get what you get. You don't stop and go, "Hey, by the way, can you?"
Oh, dude, come on.
That's
a great name for those people. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to hear it.
He's right. But sometimes that's the only word that works, though.
So you get up to the first one and you order, and then when you pull up to the window to pick up your food, that's when people now try to add on, and you're dealing with somebody who doesn't even have a cash register at that point, right?
That's
weak sauce.
So pull over and go in, whatever you need to do, but stop it. Just get out of people's way.
Let's try Steve. Line 8, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hola, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Hey, I got an issue. When my wife goes, she's been to McDonald's a million times since she was a kid, and she looks at the menu like it's in a foreign language.
She can't figure out what she wants?
She wants chicken nuggets, and she'll sit there and look at how many nuggets she wants every single time.
Right.
Yeah.
She's
got to be put down, dude. I'm sorry. Puppy Lake.
Puppy Lake. Especially at a place like McDonald's where we are all super familiar with the menu.
Yeah, McDonald's.
Absolutely.
You know what they have, and B, you know what you like.
You don't have to look at the menu.
Right.
Let's go to line 7. Vanessa used to work for In-N-Out Burger, and she, I'm sure, has stories from the trenches. Hi, Vanessa. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks.
Okay, I'm caught. I used to work for In-N-Out a couple years ago, and there was this guy. He would come in every single weekend, and he would order the same thing. He always wanted his burger cooked 30 seconds on one side, flipped over, cooked for 10 seconds on the other side, and he wanted everything packaged separately. I mean bread in a little package, cheese, pickles, onions, tomato, lettuce. And he would watch you. And, you know, you're the customer. The customer is always right, and that's how In-N-Out works.
That's
bizarre. And we had to do it.
Wow, at that point, even In-N-Out, who's known for their great service, even In-N-Out should go, F you.
Yeah, it's one guy.
Should get out of line and never come back.
No, and you would complain if
30
it wasn't
seconds, 10 seconds.
Would you ever be allowed to say, hey, sir, for that kind of special order, we'd prefer you come inside? Would that have been possible?
Well, I guess the word you would have, you have to be the manager to say something like that.
Right,
I
yeah,
get in
of
trouble
course.
Because
yeah.
you know people like that really do.
See,
like
now that. That's a guy. We can all agree on that. Some of my rules are extreme. But
that guy's a douche nozzle, absolutely.
That guy who wants to cook it for 30 seconds and then only 10 seconds and then put everything in separate packets, that guy needs the death penalty.
What the hell is he doing?
Death penalty.
Thin the herd.
Hey guys, Sean writes in, I hate when people use coupons in the drive-thru. Coupons should only be used inside. It's the worst when you're hungry, you get stuck behind someone who's using coupons for a free cheeseburger that only costs 99 cents anyway. Who's with me? is Sean right? No coupons at the drive-thru?
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
I don't know. If it doesn't slow you up, I don't care, but if it slows you up.
Let's go to Kelsey on line 3. I think Kelsey disagrees with your policy right. about not checking the bag before you drive out.
Hey, Kelsey.
Hey. I think you should check the bag sometimes because, like, for instance, what if you order a Big Mac and they give you a double cheeseburger?
Right.
That's like 3 double cheeseburgers right there.
Right.
And, like,
I'm with you, Kelsey.
And what's your point? No, my point is, you know when you go to that fast food restaurant what you're going to get. There's not that much different. Just take it and eat it. Or get out of line and check it and walk in.
Well, I think you should just check the bag because I'm going to be super mad, and I'm going to be even more mad if I have to get out of my car and tell them that you messed up on my order.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're going to have a showdown here.
If Kevin
ever ends up behind you in the fast food restaurant line, you're in trouble.
I'm going to suggest don't go through the drive-thru. I'm going to suggest you should park and go in. From the beginning.
I think they should get your order, right? And if they don't, it's not that big a deal to get them to get it, right? Especially if I've ordered...
How many people are behind you?
You know, 2 or 3 things.
You know how long it takes some people to check their order? Maybe this is part of the problem. They sit there and they open the bag and they inspect it.
Well, I'm telling you,
look,
it doesn't take me long.
And then they start digging through and they want to make sure that they got the sweet and sour sauce.
Those people are never going to listen to you anyway.
Oh, I just want to ram them.
Then they pull out the chemistry set and do a pH balance on the food.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I think Weird Al has the final word.
Now a woman on a speaker box is saying, can I take your order, please? I said, yes, indeed, you certainly can. We'd like 2 hamburgers with onions and cheese. Then my wife says, baby, hold on, I've changed my mind. I think I'm going to have a chicken sandwich instead this time. I said, you always get a cheeseburger. She says, that's not what I'm hungry for. I put my head in my hands and scream. I don't know who you are anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to get behind Weird Al. That's bad times.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and here is Ralph to give you some free stuff.
Hot tub time machine!
Woo! Come on. Yeah. Come on with that.
This is going to be awesome. I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of this movie. It's happening Wednesday, March the 17th in Hollywood. You get a 4-pack of tickets if you're one of the first 5 callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers get a 4-pack of tickets to the premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine.
It is 7:51 now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you did not stay up to watch the end of the Oscars last night, we have highlights from the whole show coming up in about 10 minutes. Ralph's going to recap some of the winners here and talk about everything else going on in showbiz. What's happening, dude?
By the way, Oscars were great last night.
I thought so, too.
I think so, too.
That's cool. All you need to know.
I expected very little, though, and I think that helps.
Sure.
I expected very little and got even less.
I expected much because I thought last year's were real good with Hugh Jackman. I really enjoyed those as well.
I agree.
I said, I hope this year is as good as last year's, and it absolutely was.
I thought it was even better.
Everyone enjoyed it.
Not everyone.
Everyone except for. except for Uncle Cranky. He's too busy sitting in his teepee, eating his fast food made from pigs, being angry. The big winners last night were The Hurt Locker, winning for Best Picture, and Best Director, Kathryn Bigelow, the first woman director ever to win the award. Jeff Bridges won, Sandra Bullock, Christoph Waltz, and Monique were Best Supporting Actor and Actress, and Best Animated Film was Up. You know, also this weekend, not just the Oscars were given out, but the Razzies as well, which is the award given out for worst work in motion pictures, the Golden Raspberry Award. And the winner for Worst Actress this year was Sandra Bullock. Wait a minute, didn't she win for Best Actress for the Oscar? Yes, you're right, she did, but she also won for Worst Actress.
Same movie?
No, different movie. She won for The Blind Side for the Oscars. For Worst Actress, it was All About Steve.
Remember
All About Steve, where she's a psychotic stalker who's chasing Bradley Cooper all over the country because she's in love with him?
Yes.
Yeah, here's the cool thing about Sandra Bullock, though. Say what you will about her talent. She showed up to accept the Worst Actress Award at the Razzies on Saturday.
Is this the first time ever?
It is.
That's awesome.
She showed up, by the way, with a crate of All About Steve DVDs for the audience.
And she got a standing ovation from the audience, which is pretty cool. Also in attendance was the man who won for worst movie of the decade.
Wow.
The man who wrote Battlefield Earth.
Oh, really?
The John Travolta epic.
Sure.
The Scientologist creator L. Ron Hubbard wrote the book. The man who wrote the script, J.D. Shapiro, won the award for worst movie of the decade. He showed up as well to accept his reward.
That's some stiff competition right there for the decade.
In good humor, he was there. He also, by the way, wrote Robin Hood Men in Tights, the Mel Brooks movie. I don't know if you ever saw
that. Oh, that's a funny movie.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, so he's got some talent. But
he must not be a Scientologist, though.
I don't know what his affiliation is. I'm assuming probably not.
Yeah.
I would imagine a movie like Battlefield Earth being made from the writings of their dear leader, I would imagine there was a lot of input from those higher up in Scientology to get it right, and probably that did not serve the film well in terms of being entertainment.
I've got a contact, by the way, to talk to him if you want to. It may be interesting to talk to the guy who wrote the worst movie of the decade.
That is, that's an accomplishment.
Well, Bruce Allen's going on. Maybe we can talk to J.D. Shapiro and see what the process was like in hammering out Battlefield Earth.
Did anyone see that movie? Did any of you guys see it? I never saw it, no. I didn't either. But I heard that part of the problem was that John Travolta was at his absolute John Travolta-esque worst.
Oh, he's horrible.
Too, and that didn't help.
Yeah, I could see in the trailers he was horrible. And he had like this Klingon forehead on and stuff jammed up his nose and all. It was very bizarre.
What's that?
Dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks, yeah. It was
4 foot dreadlocks.
It was wrong on every level. Yeah, it was pretty pathetic.
I need to go back and get that.
Let's take a look at it. Maybe we should do a video call.
That really sounds great.
Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Here is the top 10. Alice in Wonderland in its debut. $116
million. It's a lot.
It's like Avatar numbers.
Yeah.
Craziness. Brooklyn's Finest was number two. Shutter Island, Cop Out, Avatar. Round out the top five. Then The Crazies, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Valentine's Day. I don't know whether you're going to do it or when you're not going to do it. That's the problem.
Just
sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't.
Let's just take for granted he's not
going to. So I leave a beat, and then he doesn't do it. Sometimes I keep going. And then woo, and
I'll hit
the background. Just while I'm going. Percy Jackson and the Olympians was number seven. Valentine's Day, Crazy Heart, and Dear John rounding out the bottom of the top 10. Movie news. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm kind of torn because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and yet a sequel can't possibly live up to the first one. Just announced. Universal Pictures has announced they're doing a sequel to the classic 1988 comedy Midnight Run. Did you ever see Midnight Run?
Oh, wow.
With Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin?
I think I did.
De Niro plays a bounty hunter who's trying to get Charles Grodin, who's an accountant for the mob, across country without the mob killing him in time for him to not renege on his bail bond.
Mm-hmm.
And it is freaking hilarious.
Is it?
It was the first time really De Niro ever played comedy, and everyone was so surprised that he could be funny. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and they have just announced they are doing a sequel where he will play, once again, De Niro, bounty hunter Jack Walsh, former Chicago cop, who has to, this time, deal with another fugitive. No word on who will play the fugitive. Charles Grodin has retired from acting some time ago. He won't be retired.
Are they trying to cash in on the super hot momentum of 1988?
Look, I hear you. I can't imagine why they would wait 23 years to do a new movie.
Yeah, it's not like Tron, where there's people out there actually excited about the sequel. No one's sitting around waiting for the new Midnight Run.
And we've kind of seen De Niro do this kind of thing now a million times since with Analyze This and Analyze That, where he sort of plays the funny badass against the nebbishy guy with Billy Crystal in those films and stuff. So it isn't exactly a fresh concept anymore. And yet, once again, I do love that movie. I'm going to have to go take a sit and think about that for a while.
Okay,
I'll let you know what I come up with, all right? And Justin Timberlake loves pickle juice.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Hope there's more.
No, that's it. He loves the juice that comes out of pickles.
Oh, my God.
Excellent. I'm just telling you, Justin Timberlake likes nothing better than just swallow down some pickle juice.
Oh!
Apparently, he was sitting at a bar, and he likes to chase down his shots with pickle juice. Do you know of a cocktail that involves pickle juice?
No.
Apparently he does. He likes to do shots and then chase it with pickle juice. They had none at the bar. He gave the waitress a $100 tip because she ran out to a nearby store to buy a jar of pickles for him so he could drink the juice. He was chasing his shots at a bar with pickle juice.
That's weird.
Never heard of that.
Ew.
Now, pickle juice is basically brine, salt water, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would be sort of, if you're doing vodka, it would be like a dirty martini, I guess, if you took a shot of vodka and then a swig of pickle juice.
But if you need
I've never
pickle
heard
juice,
of such a thing.
If you need it that bad, bring it.
A canteen of pickle juice at all times.
Really?
A hip flask of pickle juice. By the way, his name my autobiography, and I hope you'll pick it all up.
You know, Lisa May.
Hey, look, it's Gene Simmons.
How are you, Rob?
Hi, Gene Simmons. What do you got to say for yourself these days?
Yeah, what have you got to say for yourself?
I was just curious. Speaking of extracting juice from a pickle.
All right, you've lost me.
Yeah. Shut up, bitch.
Wow.
Whoa, Gene's
covered in ribbon like that.
What happened?
Wow. Gene used to be a funny guy.
You did falter.
Lighthearted.
Oh, no.
You did stutter a bit. I mean, she did call you on that.
Yeah.
Screw you, too.
Gene's not liking anybody these days. Celebrity birthdays. Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, Kevin. That's just for you. I know you're a big Monkees fan.
That's
so I wanted to.
Great.
Mickey, of course, was the drummer and sometime lead singer of the Monkees.
He would have been 129 today had he been alive.
He is alive, and he's a vital 65 years old, Kevin.
65!
He is!
He was 65 when I was born!
No, that's not possible.
F you, 65!
That's just not possible.
I'm saying 65 is not possible.
I'm telling you, that's how old he is.
Kevin, nope. they were young. They were in their 20s in the 60s. That totally makes sense. The math works.
165?
No. Gary Newman, who did Cars, is 52. Cameron Manheim, steamroller, is 49 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr. currently can be seen on 24. He is 34. Coincidence? I don't even know what that means.
I didn't even see it.
James Vanderbeek. He's 33 years old today. Tom Chaplin of Keene turns 31. Andy Ross from OK Go turns 31 as well. By the way, we were mentioning that video earlier today, the OK Go video. David King of Mexico tells me that the new OK Go video is available on kevinandbean.com if you go there.
All right.
I tried. I couldn't find it, but he promises me it's there somewhere.
It is there. I posted it myself. It's definitely there, and it's a miracle to watch. It really is.
In the top right hand, there's a search function. Just put it in there. It's the easiest way to find
it. That's how we tried it, and we got like four other pages of stuff, but none of that. But apparently it's in there someplace.
Bean posted it.
You have to be like Tron. You have to be digitized and enter into your computer and then hunt it down by getting on a light cycle and then playing with some discs, but eventually you will find the video.
So you're saying we make it easy.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Kat Von D, tattoo artist, legendary, extraordinaire. She is 28.
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed that, Mike. Who's Ralph talking about?
I can't do it, B. Kevin will hit me right in the balls.
These two entertain each other all day long. Oh, it's just so
you have
annoying.
No idea.
My God.
We're just lucky they got their clothes on this time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, I want to thank you again. If you went out on Saturday and bought tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show, it is completely sold out. Lots of money raised for some terrific local charities, and people are already asking, what do I do now? Well, you can go to scalper route, or you can continue to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. We will have more tickets to give away between now and April 3rd, the date of the All-Star Night of Comedy at the Gibson Amphitheater. I'm so pleased to see how many people were able to get tickets, though. It's going to be a great show. All right, let's talk about the Oscars. Look, hear my whole thing, guys. I love Alec Baldwin, and I love Steve Martin. I just felt that the dual host format did not work very effectively last night as much as it would have had either man been hosting solo. I just felt like there was not a lot of chemistry between those two guys. And outside of the opening monologue, which did have some very funny stuff, which we're going to hear in a moment here, I didn't think they did all that much. They didn't bring all – it seemed like they disappeared for the rest of the show.
I couldn't have been thinking more the opposite.
Me neither.
I think 1 + 1 = 3 in that instance. Right. I thought
they were great together.
Well, let's hear some of those highlights from right at the beginning of the show with Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin together.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to introduce actor, writer, musician – Grammy and Emmy winner, one of the most enduring entertainers of all time, Mr. Steve Martin. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And this is Alec Baldwin.
See, that cracked me up.
Me too. Right. I laughed out loud. Very funny.
Right there, I'm in.
Look, I'm saying lots of comedy in the opening. They had a whole slew of jokes right at the beginning, which I thought were very funny.
Oh, and look. There's that damn Helen Mirren. See, that's Dame Helen Mirren.
Ooh, sorry.
And right there in the front row is Meryl Streep.
Woo!
Wow. We were just talking about you. When Steve and I met her at the start of our movie, It's Complicated, we both thought the same thing. What a memorable threesome. Anyone who has ever worked with Meryl Streep always ends up saying the exact same thing. Can that woman act?
And what's up with all the Hitler memorabilia?
I don't know where that came from, but it was very, very funny. All right. They tried to young it up this year. They brought out a lot of people who have never traditionally been invited to the Oscars. The Oscars used to be about old-time Hollywood and glamour, and you used to bring out the stars of the 60s and 70s were the ones you saw the most, the Warren Beattys and the Susan Sarandons and those types
right.
of people.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to young it up, and I applaud that effort, but you never want to hear these words when you're watching the Oscars.
Please welcome Ryan Reynolds.
There's no excuse for that.
I don't have a problem with him.
There's no excuse either.
Please welcome Keanu Reeves.
Nobody wants that. Keanu Reeves and the Oscars?
Yeah.
Really? Together?
He's a big movie star.
Yes.
Is he one of the worst actors who's ever been a big movie star in the history of films?
Oh,
Possibly.
Yeah. In that category, he's the king.
And then Kristen freaking Stewart. Look, yeah. I know she was lucky to jump on the rocket that is Twilight. I understand that technically she's got big box office because of those movies, but she is a zero. I said earlier today, you could go out on Hollywood Boulevard outside the Kodak Theater and pick the first 10 teenage girls that you'd be able to read better than Kristen Stewart, allegedly a professional, up on stage presenting an award last night.
It's been 37 long years since horror had its place on this show when The Exorcist picked up 2 Academy Awards. So tonight, we want to give horror films their due and pay tribute to the movies that love to dare us.
Oh, good read.
Yeah. Wow.
That was pretty awful.
She is a black hole of personality. Yeah. There's no question about that. When she starts talking, everybody dozes.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was introducing the tribute to horror movies and they put Twilight in there.
That's bizarre.
It didn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I don't think of it that
That's
way.
A horror movie? No.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a horror movie at all. By the way, speaking of horrors... very funny line. Maybe you can see the comedy they were going for, and the unintentional comedy is they're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker here.
And now to present the award for best costume design to world-renowned clothes whores.
Sis.
What?
Clothes horses.
Okay, but I don't think the plural of whores is horses.
I'm just saying, if I'm Sarah Jessica Parker and everybody already jokes that I look like a horse,
right?
I don't know. Maybe don't use that to bring me out on stage. It doesn't seem like that's kind of a dig.
Well, I don't think
bit.
she has any okay over that.
She couldn't have been very happy though.
That's fine with me.
What's the website? Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a horse.com. Right. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Demi Moore looked fantastic, like she always does. You get enough plastic surgery, you can look that great.
By the way,
really does.
She seems to be the example of great plastic surgery.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's so many examples of that where it went wrong. She looks great.
She looks fantastic. And it was so bizarre last night. I always think they screw up the in memoriams. They make a lot of mistakes in the way the Oscars presents that every year. Some of the ones that you can see in the house on the screen at the Kodak Theater, they don't enlarge enough so that you can see the person that you're supposedly remembering at home. It's just a blurry picture from far away, and you go, who's that? And then they keep the mics on the audience, so it turns into a popularity contest. All these people are dead, yet, of course, some names are going to get the huge applause, some names dead silent. It's like insult to injury. You've already died, and now your picture is being shown at the Oscars, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was weird that they did last night was Demi Moore. Tell me if this makes any sense to you.
This is the moment we take pause to celebrate life. Here to pay tribute to those we've lost is James Taylor.
Okay, now.
We're not celebrating life. At that point, we are clearly celebrating death.
Right.
If I die, please don't bring James Taylor out with his acoustic guitar, okay? I don't need that.
I was okay with that.
You were?
Yeah, I was fine with
that. I was just like, come on.
But you hate people like that.
There were a couple of funny lines last night. One of the things that they brought out last year for the first time that I thought was kind of cool is they bring a bunch of people who have previously won Oscars out to do something as they give away the new Oscar. And last night they had people, you know, like Forrest Whitaker would get up and he'd say a few words about Sandra Bullock because they'd worked together.
Right.
Well, Tim Robbins, who of course famously co-starred with Morgan Freeman, who was nominated for an Oscar this year, they worked together at the Shawshank Redemption. Tim Robbins, I thought, had the funniest line of the whole night when he was telling this story about working with the great Morgan Freeman.
I'll never forget what you said to me about friendship on the last day of shooting. You said, being a friend is getting the other a cup of coffee. Can you do that for me, Ted?
And that, of course, Tim Robbins.
And one more that we only have time for one more. And this was the there wasn't a lot of unexpected happening on the Oscars last night, but this was the Kanye West bum rush the stage and grab the mic moment.
Oh, yeah.
For a category that it was one of the documentary categories, I think best live action documentary, I think what it was. And a guy wins the award and he runs up there. And then out of nowhere, this woman comes up out of the audience and basically just pushes him out of the way.
Yeah.
I didn't even understand what was going on. I was so confused.
Because I looked away for a second, and then all of a sudden she's up there, and he's kind of looking like,
Who are they?
What am I supposed to do?
Was she supposed to be there?
Well, here's the short version of the story is that she is a producer on the film. He is a producer and a director on the film. But they had a falling out after they started making the movie together. And one of them got, I guess the woman got fired. And then the guy ended up suing her. And they have been it's been super frosty between those two. They're not even speaking to each other. In all of the press leading up to this, she hasn't been invited to any of it. This is the first thing that she's been to. I don't even know if he knew that she was there. And he certainly didn't look like he was prepared for her to jump up and grab the mic. But yeah. It's a little bit awkward. Here's some of that from last night's Oscars.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. 2 years ago when I got on an airplane and went to Zimbabwe, I never imagined my wildest dreams that I'd end up here.
Here she comes.
This is so exciting. This is so exciting.
Isn't that just so exciting. The classic thing? You know, in a world in which...
And then she just goes on and takes the whole rest of the speech. And
isn't it like that for a man to not let a woman talk?
Yeah, black man can't talk at the Oscars? Is that what's going on?
I'm saying after seeing her on stage, they made the right decision.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She was obnoxious.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will talk to us in about 15 minutes or so, find out what the celebrities are up to all weekend long. By the way, I couldn't be more giddy right now knowing that our friend Doto, the international man of mystery, is on the phone. Is it true? Is he really there for real?
Well, he is. Yes.
Yep.
Hey, Doe.
Doto, how are you, my friend?
Kevin Bean, how's it going, man? I just got back a couple of days ago.
You just got back from Vietnam?
Yeah.
What were you doing over in Vietnam this time, Doe?
I was just working with the old man. There's a lot of projects and a lot of opportunities, Bean.
A lot of projects and a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
What does he do? Tell us again what he does.
Yeah.
He does real estate and also import-exporting.
Import-exporting.
Yeah, okay. That means a lot of different things.
and how many bags? Exactly. How many bags does he make you swallow before you get back on the plane, Doe?
I don't know. I'm not sure, Kevin Bean.
Yeah. Hey, Doe, let me ask you a question. You're one of our favorite guys, and you email us a lot. But it seems...
Yeah, sometimes I drink a little bit too much, and I don't know what I was thinking.
Right. This is Kevin.
Kevin. Actually, we like it when you email us. Don't misunderstand. Kevin's not complaining.
Let me finish. You email us a lot, but it's really difficult to get you on the show sometimes.
Sorry.
How does that – but why? I mean, you do email us a lot, and then we say, hey, we'd like to talk to you on the air, and then we get some other response that doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
You don't have to be sorry.
We're trying to understand why you seem to enjoy communicating with us, yet why is it we have so much trouble getting you on the phone?
Well, from this time, you're not going to have any trouble because I got my communication phones off. Oh, fixed up, Kevin. I mean,
you have your communication phones fixed up?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Is that different from a regular phone like the one I use?
No, it's kind of hard to explain, Bean.
Wait a minute.
And it is.
Look, it's either a landline or a cell phone.
It's a landline. It's not a cell phone.
Okay.
But I could use my cell phone, but I'm just going to use my landline for now.
That's fine. Okay. That is complicated. You're right.
Are you going to be staying in the United States for a while, or do you have more overseas trips planned?
I'll be staying for two or three months, Kevin Bean.
2 or 3 months.
Okay. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, Doe, since we don't get to talk to you very often, do you mind if I ask you about a couple specific emails, and maybe you can just give us a brief...
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask, Kevin Bean. Are those emails really serious or not?
Well, why don't you let him ask you?
I mean, you have a whole bunch of emails on a wide range of topics, and it's hard for me to know. For instance, I'll start with this one. Hey, Bean, how's it going? Hope you don't have a dislikes toward me. I send a couple messages, Doe. Now, why would you ever think that we don't like you, Doe? We're your biggest fans.
Yeah, Kevin. I was just playing. Sometimes I didn't know what I was thinking, so I just come up with something to ask Bean randomly.
Yeah.
Okay. Bean, if someone threatened me and I report to law enforcement, are they bound by law to take the matter seriously, Doe? Now, that's the kind of question that sounds like you have something specific in mind that you're thinking of doing or something has happened to you.
I didn't know I was asking Bean because some things I just have crazy thoughts in my mind, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Did someone threaten you? Are you thinking of reporting someone to law enforcement?
If so, that would be confidential. That's something I cannot disclose because I could be looking at a lawsuit, Bean.
That's a good point.
I'm okay.
That's a good point.
All right, here's another one. Bean, last year I had a dispute with someone. I made it clear that if I want him dead, I could hire someone to wipe them out for a fee. I was only joking and playing around. This is someone I know in the Chinese group. What does all that mean, Doe?
Yeah, Bean?
I said, what's the story there? What does that mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bean. I just knew what was in my head.
Okay, so there's no person, there was no situation, it was just you making stuff up?
The thing is, like 5 or 6 years ago, someone was threatening me. It was a family member that if I defame his reputation, then he's going to have his brother after me.
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, and I want to know if that was the case. How the heck do I protect myself, Bean? Because in this country, you do have a right to protect yourself against threats, right, Bean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense to protect yourself. Yeah, sure, yeah.
But do you think you need to protect yourself?
I don't know if he's kidding or not, Bean. Why the heck would I want to take the chance?
Okay,
know?
But
it was 5 years ago, so he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, because he hasn't done anything yet, but he has gang members working for him.
Okay, listen. No, in general, if we could give you some advice, and you might want to listen to this because the last guy didn't and ended up in jail, you might want to not use the word kill any variation of that.
I got it, Bean, Kevin.
In any email ever.
Okay, got it.
Because we're losing a lot of our records to the prison system, and we're worried that we're going to lose you, too.
That's a scare word. That's...
Hey, Bean, can I tell you something, Bean?
Of course, Doe, absolutely.
When I go to the airport, can I tell you how I got into the VIP lounge? Can I tell you my pitch?
Yes.
Okay, my pitch. Okay. Here's my pitch. I say that. I went up to passengers. Hello. Hi, my name is Doe Toe. I'm a Star Alliance member. I was wondering, can you bring me in to the VIP lounge as a guest? And because I've stayed in the airport for 2 or 3 hours, and a lot of times they're pretty good over there, Kevin Bean.
But you're lying about being a Star Alliance member?
Yeah, but I'm a Star Alliance member, Kevin Bean.
Well, then why don't you just go in yourself?
But I'm not the elite. I'm not in the elite member yet.
Oh, I see. So they have to vouch for you, so you talk them into it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good with that.
Sure.
And because I'm almost an elite member, I just have...
Right.
Just because.
Do people ever run from you when you ask them that?
No, because I'm pretty polite and I'm pretty cool with that. I'm
okay.
Pretty smoothly.
I'm sure
okay.
You are.
And here's my advice for the K-Rock listener, Kevin.
Okay, advice for the K-Rock listener.
K-Rock listeners, for future reference, if they want to go to Asia, Europe, please fly on any of the Star Alliance members, because after when you fly 50,000 miles, man, you get to use the VIP lounge. And you don't have to wait with the damn general public, man.
That is a great tip.
Every time when I'm in the VIP lounge, and I always board my flight before 15 minutes later, and the chaperone walk me to my gate, and I get to and I board in the business class, first class, so I don't wait, and I don't have to wait in the damn general public.
Yeah, the damn general public sucks, doesn't
they're
it?
Awful.
Right. Yeah, and what about the poor people who are Star Alliance Club members in the elite section, yet they have their area invaded by guys like you who talk their way in? Doesn't make it very special now, does it?
I don't. You know what? Because some people, because I don't think most people care about stuff like that. You know, Bean, because they have much more important. That they have a lot of worries and a lot of issues.
Sure.
That's going on.
Okay.
And they're
all right. Listen, Doe, we're desperately late on time. We love you, but I have one more question I have to ask. Another email that you sent said simply this: Bean, I need some babs, man. Doe, how's it going with the ladies? What's the latest on the lady front?
You know what? I went out with a couple ladies, and man.
Yeah.
And we went.
Did you pay them to go out with you?
Yeah.
What?
Did you pay them to go out with you?
Were they hookers? I met him through some friends.
Right, that wasn't my question.
Did you have
them?
To? You didn't pay them. They went out with you because they wanted to.
Yeah, I asked them. I invited them to dinner, Chinese food.
Uh-huh.
Was there any sexy time?
Jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi.
Wait, yeah,
that's a nice start.
But wait, just jacuzzi, or did it happen in the jacuzzi?
It didn't happen in jacuzzi. Why would I want to do anything in public, Kevin?
Did anything happen with these ladies, or was it just jacuzzi?
Well, nothing really happened with ladies, Bean, Kevin Bean.
You failed, oh? You fail. You're the international man of mystery. The women should be flocking to you.
One last thing. The word babe has an E on the end of it.
Come on. Don't make fun of Doe.
I'm just saying he needs a bab.
The word babe is almost pretty much the same as getting a lady, getting laid, Bean. It just translated differently, Bean.
That's right. He's right.
Okay. All right, Doe. Well, listen, let's not make it so long before the next time we catch up. I'm glad we were able to get you on the program today. Okay. Happy New Year to you.
Some babes kept Bean.
All right. Thank you, Doe.
We'll work on that.
Every Monday here on The Kevin and Bean Show, we look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and, of course, TMZ Television. Check your local listings. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I follow Harvey's Twitter feed, of course, and he was among the first on the web last night to say, hey, what about Farrah Fawcett? Where's Farrah Fawcett? She's famous. She was in movies and she died. Why did she miss the montage?
Why did she miss that montage?
She was not in the dead people montage?
No. And it really stuck out. I mean, it was weird that, I mean, you know, they had Michael Jackson and she's done more movies than him. And she was in Cannonball Run, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't. The first thing I thought is maybe she didn't do any movies. I couldn't think of a single movie off of television. I know she did the famous Burning Bed and some of those TV movies. I didn't know that she had been in theatrical movies, too.
She was in a movie called Sunburn, Saturn III, The Cannonball Run, and Dr. T and the Women.
There's your answer.
Four women.
There's your answer,
Dr. T, that's a legitimate big-budget Robert Altman movie with a lot of stars. I mean, that totally should have counted. Yeah, that seems like quite an oversight. I wonder how something like that happens.
I don't know, but we put a poll up for getting Farrah. Inexcusable, understandable. 88% say inexcusable.
Hmm. How about that? What'd you think of the Academy Awards, Harvey?
A couple of things really struck me. Did you guys happen to notice that every time somebody black won, they showed every black person in the audience?
That's become status quo. They do that all the time.
Weird.
I know.
It was just so weird.
But they also do it with, you know, when Catherine, what's her name, the director?
Bigelow.
When she won, you know, then they shoot to all the other women in the audience. I mean, it's always kind of that way.
Well, it was doing that, but then it was like, and then with Catherine Bigelow, it's like, okay, she wins this really big movie, and she's like, okay, she's an acclaimed director now, and she always was, but now she won an award. Right. They play I Am Woman?
Yeah, that was so lame.
That was weird, right?
Yes.
It was weird.
That was lame.
It was weird.
What did you in the newsroom think of the hosting job with Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin?
Oh, they were great. They were hilarious.
You liked them. Yeah,
I thought too. Did you guys like them?
I loved them. Bean didn't. He thought they were only funny at the beginning.
Yeah, I just thought they didn't have much of a presence. I mean, you compare them to great Oscar hosts in the past, and it seems like a guy like Billy Crystal popped up every 15 minutes with a really funny line, and there weren't that many memorable moments from them beyond the open. That was my only complaint about them.
But they didn't, something was wrong, because, I mean, that show wasn't back-timed right, because, I mean, I don't know if you saw, of course you saw, unless you blinked, when they gave Best Picture, it was like they were so out of time, they didn't even read the nominees. Tom Hanks just said, "It's her liar."
it was pretty rushed.
It was over.
Well, it was already 45 minutes past the time at that point. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And that was like Steve Martin's funniest line was when he said, "This show went so long that Avatar is now in the past."
Exactly, yeah. All right, let's turn our attention to one other story that folks may have missed if they weren't paying close attention to TMZ.com over the weekend. The great Harvey Levin on the phone with us. I don't even know all the details. Is there anything to this alleged sexual assault charge for Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback?
Well, here's the thing. You know that this woman in Reno has accused him of sexual assault in a civil case, not criminal, but civil.
Right.
So then last Friday morning, he's in a bar in Georgia, in a little town in Georgia. And a woman says basically that he went in the bathroom and assaulted her. This is not, we're told this is not like an attempted rape thing or anything like that, but it was, you know, kind of asserting himself on her. This is her allegation. So they investigated. He is the suspect. They have not arrested him. But his agent came out and said, "We're skeptical of motive. But we've been checking into this woman," and I'm not saying what's true and what's not true, except in terms of, you know the flaky factor when some of these women come forward and
against a celebrity, right, yeah.
She doesn't have that flaky factor, and so far, at least anything we've seen. And in fact, we talked to somebody in the police station there who said she was, like, really hysterical when she came in, that it wasn't, they did not think she was putting on an act. So who knows, but it's not one of these kind of wacko people, you know, at least on the surface.
I'm glad that his agent came out and made a statement, though, because those guys are only interested in the truth.
Right.
So that's good.
Well, look, keep digging around, because we like Ben, and if there's any way to discredit the victim in this, we want to make sure to do that, Harvey.
God.
What's wrong with you?
What? I'm just saying.
You guys.
No, not you guys. That was Bean.
Yeah.
Let's specify.
Bean. You know what I mean.
You Bean.
Yeah.
All right. Bean. Anything you're rolling out later today or this week you want to tip us off to, Harvey?
Well, you know, we've been doing this story about Michael Jackson and the stun gun. You guys have seen that?
It's oh, yeah.
Yes.
Bizarre story. Oh, yeah. bizarre story that the kid, I mean, you got to give this kid credit, Jafar, that, you know, he goes to Ralph's and gets a credit card at Ralph's, and he uses that to get around the 18 or older thing to buy a stun gun online.
Pretty sharp.
It's pretty resourceful.
Yeah, I like it.
Don't taste blanket. If you take anything away from today's Kevin and Bean show, that's the advice we're giving you.
Don't taste blanket.
Don't taste blanket. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey, have a great week. Thanks for coming
on. You too, guys. See ya.
Thank you.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 8:54.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and you think we deny you? You think we don't read your emails and your texts, your letters?
I don't.
The business line when it rings? Oh. We do. We're going to play the Toadies, Possum Kingdom, coming up here in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Kings of Leon, the Dirty Heads featuring Rome, and more right now. Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Heard you talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about who was left out of the honorarium last night when they talk about the memoriam, I guess, the dead celebrities who have passed in the past year between Oscars.
Usually, to me, they have, like, most of the people I've never even heard of. They make sure that everyone's in there.
They do try. I mean, really. They've got agents in there and writers and executives.
Friends.
Of studios and stuff. So usually they try to cram every celebrity name in there. But it was an obvious exception that Farrah Fawcett did not make the list last night. And you guys were talking about her movies, but you forget she was also in the Robert Duvall starring and directing film The Apostle. She played his wife in that. And she was actually nominated for several awards for that role.
I have a clip of that if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross.
More?
No, it's good.
Less.
Besides Extremities and Dr. T and the Women and Cannonball Run and Saturn III, but The Apostle was her biggest film in terms
and
of
I remember Robert
impact.
Duvall got nominated for an Academy Award that year for that movie. It was a phenomenal movie. Wasn't Meatloaf in that, too?
Yes. I think he played a preacher in that as well.
Oh, what a good movie.
Let's keep going with this conversation. Who else is on the scene?
B. Arthur wasn't in the memoriam last night either, by the way.
She shouldn't have been.
Now, I was wondering about that because I heard that earlier, too. Did she do movies as well or no?
She was in MAME. She was in Lovers and Other Strangers.
Of course.
Yeah, she did several big budget
films. Well, that's a miss. That's a miss, too, then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she was fugly, don't get me wrong. But she should have been in the memoriam.
I think that just...
Last night, the Oscars had over 40 million viewers for just the second time in 5 years. So congratulations. Wow. They did pretty well. They're still tabulating the final numbers, but looks like viewership increased by at least double-digit percentages over last year. So congratulations to those guys.
Well, that was the point of the 10 movies in the Best Picture, right, was to try to bring more movie fans into the show.
In case you missed the Oscars last night, The Hurt Locker won Best Picture. Also won for Best Director. Catherine Bigelow took home the award, the first woman ever to do so. Best Actor and Actress were Jeff Bridges and Sandra Bullock. Best Supporting Actor was Christoph Waltz for his amazing performances in Glorious Bastards. And Monique won for her role in The Parkers. Popular TV sitcom The Parkers. That's why she won.
I don't think she won
for that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Parkers. Yeah.
Parkers. I thought it was Charm School.
That's right. It was her work in Charm School. Yeah, she said last night, thanks to her husband who keeps her from making the popular decision and keeps the right decision instead of the popular decision. Well, every career move she's ever made has been horrible. Where was he then?
Yeah.
Good point.
You see the Barbara Walters interview with her?
I purposefully avoided it.
You have a lot of hair on your legs. Why?
Did she ask her about the leg on the hair?
I'm really hairy, she says.
Right.
And they also have an open marriage, those two. And
I knew that.
They're going to have sex with 30 different people. They don't care. And I was thinking to myself, that's a safe bet on his part.
Yeah.
Well, could you stay married to her if you only could have sex with her?
No.
Is there any way you would stay married to her? No, you get divorced the first possible opportunity.
Of course.
So that's how she keeps him.
Right. But I'm saying he doesn't have to worry about her going out and getting multiple partners.
No, he does not.
Because of those legs.
Yeah. Unless it's safe. Some sort of...
Furry convention.
Yeah. They think she's a mascot of some kind, maybe.
It is weird to see a UPN star get an Oscar, to see the chick from Speed get an Oscar, to see Fisher Stevens won an Oscar, a producing Oscar last night. He was from the Short Circuit movies. It's like some bizarro world last night.
I'm Johnny Five.
Wasn't that robot?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he won for The Cove. I didn't even know he produced The Cove.
Yeah.
The Cove's a rough movie, by the way. See The Rove? Cove?
Rough. I can't see it. Can't watch it.
I've never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
No.
It's about the dolphins? You probably heard of it.
Oh, the one that Hayden Panettiere was always on about?
How the Japanese corral these dolphins and slaughter them in this one particular cove.
That's where the clip was just all blood in the water?
Yeah. Their blood literally runs, the entire bay just runs red with dolphin blood.
Wow.
Hideous.
Is it comedy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
And they had that guy with the sign last night. You could text Dolphin to a phone number, and they donate money
to Haiti.
They cut
away from pretty quick, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did not care for political messages at the Oscars. So there you go. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Alice in Wonderland did very well for itself. $116 million. Brooklyn's Finest was number two. Then Shutter Island, Cop Out, and Avatar. That's your top five. Then The Crazies, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Valentine's Day, Crazy Heart, and Dear John rounding out your top 10 at the box office. I mentioned that Justin Timberlake likes pickle juice.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I was questioning his choice in drinking. Well, apparently I'm out of it. I'm not with it. I'm not a hep cat.
I thought you used to be a bartender.
I did.
Your share of research and drinking.
I have been out of the bartending biz for a while, and apparently I've missed out on the latest trend, which is shots of whiskey with pickle juice chasers. I'm not kidding you. I got tons of emails. This one from Listener Anant in New York City. Pickle juice tracers are the trendy thing here in New York now. It's usually done after whiskey shots. It tastes like crap.
Well,
this is from Matthew. Another email. At a Christmas party this past year, my dad's friend somehow convinced us to take shots of whiskey and chase them with pickle juice. It was nasty, and I don't recommend it to anyone.
Sounds like somebody's playing a joke on these people.
A wildly popular trend that no one seems to particularly like.
Here, wash it down with this. You'll like it.
In Long Beach, California, there's a shot called the San Juan Whore that is pickle juice and tequila.
I'm going to go with no.
That's from Tura. And also Sarah says, in Russia, when they drink a shot of vodka, they knock it back, chilled vodka, and then take a bite of a pickle. So apparently there's a long-standing tradition of alcohol and pickle being mixed.
I can't believe the King of Mexico, Mr. Bacon Vodka, isn't all over this hot hip-hop trend.
Would you like some pickle rumple mints? The next thing he'll be serving is some kind of
young
BS.
People don't know anything.
Yeah, good point.
But they like pickles. That's all I know.
Who knew?
Who knew indeed? In case you missed any of the promos, Jennifer Lopez is going to be How I Met Your Mother tonight. I just want to give you a heads up on the TV in case you want to see that.
Okay.
They've advertised that thing to death. Mm.
They made an announcement or two.
Can't really avoid it.
And watch that show. Is that my loss? Am I missing out on
How I Met Your Mother? It's cute. It's a cute show.
Yeah.
It's funny. Funny enough.
Yeah.
CBS, though. You're not
so if you're going
policy.
For cute or funny enough,
that's you got half an hour to burn, I'm saying. You could do it in a lot worse ways.
All right.
And finally, in TV news, what we suspected all along is coming out now.
What is?
The writers for Lost say they realize that there really isn't enough time to clear up all the mysteries.
Oh, what a surprise.
Before the series ends. So they said they're admitting that there will be some things that will never be explained regarding what was happening on the island. Yeah.
How about that?
We are going to get so... We're going to get so horked, people.
But you see...
Bend over and lube up because we are just going to take it at the end of this show.
But honestly, anyone who doesn't see that coming is just putting on the blinders. I mean, that's what the show's been about from day one.
But there were promises were made, Kevin. Promises were made.
Yeah.
Gifts were exchanged. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
F*** you! So... I think the smoke monster is what they're taking in the writer's room. That's the reason we got all those honked up situations.
Survey says, you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, artist Kat Von D. She is 28 years old today. She, of course, from L.A. Inc. Her very popular TV show. She's got her own tattoo parlor here in Los Angeles.
She's the best.
She is the best. Andy Ross of OK Go is 31 years old today. James Vanderbeek celebrates his 33rd birthday. Freddie Prinze Jr., turns 34. Cameron Mannheim, Steamroller, is 49 years old.
I don't think it's Steamroller.
Wow. Someone tell Quasimodo to get out of the tower. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That's the Toadies right there doing Possum Kingdom on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
It is.
Mm-mm.
It is.
No.
It was.
No.
I played
no.
it.
No.
That
no.
Was, yes.
No.
That was,
hell
we,
no.
We,
no.
We just.
No. I refuse. No.
We,
no.
We played it. All right. You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. That is the number. You call us. Leave a message. We play it back on the radio just like this.
Last week we had Courtney Love on. Mm-hmm. She's back with Hole. They've got a new CD coming out.
They've got a
She's
new
back with Hole. She created a new Hole.
Yeah, right. This Hole not included.
she killed the old Hole. Yeah. Now there's a new Hole.
No one involved in Hole is now in this band, except for Courtney Love.
Okay.
Right.
So we talked to her. We played her song Skinny Little Bitch, which I really like.
I think it's good.
She's a little scattered during interviews.
You guys are interviewing Courtney Love right now, and I now know why Kurt Cobain blew his head off, because I want to do the same thing.
Wow. Hey, take it easy with that.
Somebody, please drop a bow to Courtney Love's dome. Now.
You gotta, if you didn't hear it that day, you gotta go to KevinandBean.com and search Courtney Love and listen to the complete interview. It's still up there. It was indecipherable. They could send that to the lab and have people spend a year trying to figure out what the hell she was talking about most of the time, and I don't think they'd get it.
I know I'm on my own here, but I loved every sweet second of it.
Well, you like crazy.
I like crazy.
Yeah.
And she crazy.
Totally.
And we'd ask a question, and then she'd start talking about something else. We'd go, how did we get here? 30 seconds later. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not sure what this guy's referring to.
Chuckle Mike, you're gay.
Yeah.
Amen.
We were talking about vanity plates and how most of them blow.
Mm-hmm.
The one I saw that got us started with was God's Good, but the D didn't fit, so it was God's Goo. Here's one like that.
The other day I saw the best vanity plate I've ever seen. Two white Caucasian women with a vanity plate, WHTHORS. Pretty sure it was supposed to be White Horse, but it didn't look like that.
White Horse.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What they meant. Who knows? Who's to say?
Hey, I heard Melfon's going to be at Coachella Festival.
Oh, don't start that. Don't start that. We're trying to keep that on the down low.
I want Melfon to pay at my son's bar mitzvah. That'd be awesome. With awesome sauce.
A lot of people would like Melfon to do a lot of things. You can't afford to meet our quote, though.
I just watched a video of that girl wearing the white pants, the reporter. And you want to know what visited her? The Fear Fairy.
Internet Roundup, KevinandBean.com. Newscaster has an unfortunate accident. In white pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As well, yeah. So it was birthday, and we played this song.
Avenue. We gonna walk down to you Avenue.
Well done. Well crafted. That was excellent work.
Did he hang up after calling the Afro Lad and go, yes,
yeah,
nailed it.
I'm got sure. It! He went to his friends, you'll never believe it, I nailed it. I'm not sure what this is about.
Yeah, I was just calling to let Dean know I got a Google alert notifying me that they found a cure for Asperger's. And this information can be found on the following website. Why don't you just kill yourself? .ca.gov.
Wow.
How dare you.
That's an actual site. Who knew? Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, happening April 3rd, sold out over the weekend. Thank you to everybody that bought tickets because the proceeds go to charity.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jimmy Kimmel, and his house band Cleto and the Cletones. Apparently, though, we missed somebody.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. April Foolishness is coming up, and looks like a great lineup you got this year. I noticed that there's someone kind of important missing from last year. Craig Wilson? Where's he? Lisa May, can you help me out with that?
Craig Wilson. Hey, everybody! How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
That was Lisa.
No, Craig Wilson this year. I was so was sad. I wanted to introduce him.
That was Lisa drunk on stage not knowing what she was talking about. So we're looking forward to that again.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman coming along in a moment with another showbiz beat. I'm watching some of these morning television shows today doing their recaps of the Oscars, and some of the stars, Kevin, are still up. Some of the stars have not been to bed. They've been partying all night long. In the words of the great Kimbo Slice,
it's all good, man. We're still going to have the after party.
Producer Alex lined up a phone number for us, apparently to one of the Los Angeles hotels where this party is just raging with a bunch of stars, and I don't know who we're going to be able to get down there, but I guess we got him on the line. Hello, Kevin and Bean here.
Hello, who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean,
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al, baby, how you doing?
I didn't see you at the Oscars last night. Did you go?
Oh, I was there.
Yeah?
Just, I'm not a tall guy.
You're pretty short, yeah.
So sometimes if I sit low in my seat, looks like an old lady driving a Subaru.
Well, it sounds like the party is raging. I mean, here we are well into the next day.
Yeah. We're having a good time.
Who else is there?
Oh, a bunch of A-list celebrities.
Okay.
You guys never get in here.
No, of course we would never get in there.
I'd say, who are those guys? Already in my party.
Can I throw out a couple of big names and just see if they're in the room?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood here.
Oh, fantastic. We'd love to talk to Clint Eastwood. Absolutely. Okay, sure.
A couple of Oscars Clint has.
Yeah. Yeah, Clint's awesome.
Hoo-ah!
Love to talk to him.
Hey.
All right, thank you, Al.
Oh, what a party.
Hello.
Clint.
Yes, Clint Eastwood here.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
I'm good, punk. How are you?
Well, good.
You don't strike me as a man who would party all night long. Aren't you 78 years old or something?
I'm not a man who strikes you, huh? Yeah. I'd like to strike you. I'd like to strike you with a ball-peen hammer right between the eyes.
Wow. No,
I didn't mean
any...
leak out, or your so-called brains leak out your ears.
Wow.
I
didn't mean any disrespect, sir. I was just saying it seems, you know, you're kind of an older guy to be out partying all night long. That just surprised me. That's all.
I may be older, but I can still kick your ass, spina bifida.
I'd like to see that.
I don't doubt
that.
Why don't
you shut your pie hole?
How about Jack Nicholson? Is he there?
Yeah, he's here.
He's a party.
All
right.
Hey, Jack.
This is an A-list party. I wasn't lying.
Well, hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you, Jack?
I'm better than you are. I'm here with a lot of naked chicks and a lot of drugs. What are you doing this morning?
Sitting in a room.
Yeah. I think I win once again.
You do win.
I noticed you weren't, at least they didn't show you on camera last night, and I wondered if it was just because you were so bummed out about the Lakers losing 3 games in a row this weekend.
No, I was starting the party early.
Ah,
so
I
had no time for the ceremony. So I was just, you know, chilling down the champagne and warming up the women.
Wow.
You do know how to party. Hey, speaking of great actors, somebody told me that Keanu Reeves was at that party. Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. Keanu's here.
Really?
Would you like to speak with him?
Please.
Well,
let me
arrange that for you.
Okay.
Let me pretend that I am your personal secretary.
I can arrange
whatever interviews you fellows would like to do.
Because
I got nothing better to do
than
help out some two radio yahoos.
If it's not a problem.
All right, one second.
Keanu Reeves.
Just wanted him to hand the phone over, that's all. Not that big a deal.
Hello?
Keanu?
Yes, I am Keanu.
Yes,
and
you are.
We're Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, how
and
are
you? You would be?
Kevin and Bean?
The radio host?
Yes. 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 Radio. Do they give out awards for radio?
Not really.
I don't
think so.
Not of any significance, no.
Not really that important, then, I would say.
Well, no, that's true.
And yet, here you are.
You sound
and yet, here I am.
Right.
Ah, yes.
You sound like you're at a pretty happening party.
Ah, or am I?
Well, it sounds like
it does. Assume, yeah.
Yes, I am.
We already talked to Pacino and Eastwood and Nicholson. And that seems pretty strong.
Yes. Ah.
Okay.
Or did you?
Keanu, did it strike you as weird that you were invited to present an Oscar? I mean, let's face it, you're popular, but you're not exactly known for your acting chops.
Ah, have you seen Little Buddha?
Yeah. All right,
have you
seen
Dracula?
I don't want to start another path again.
Adventure? You ruined Dracula.
Okay.
Ruined it.
River's Edge.
All right, maybe we can talk to someone else.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Bill and Ted's
Other Excellent Adventure.
Okay, that's right. I understand the governor is at the party. Is that true? Is Mr. Schwarzenegger still there?
Ah, or is he?
Well, we're asking you.
I'm asking you because you're at the party.
Just look.
Oh, or are you?
Look around.
Oh, God.
Yes, he is here.
Okay, could you hand him the phone?
Would you like to speak with him?
Please.
Yes, we would.
In order for that to happen, I'm going to have to hand him the phone.
Please do that.
All right, go ahead and do that.
Can you
then.
Hold one moment?
Yes,
please.
Or can you?
Just hand him the phone.
Kevin and Bean, my old friend, Kevin and Bean.
Arnold, that happening post.
How are you today, this morning? I can't believe it's morning already. I've been up the entire night. I've not even known with any sleeping whatsoever.
Wow, that's quite a party then.
Yeah, it's all the steroids.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I would like to lay down, but my muscles are locked. I'm stuck like a statue in an upright position.
Wow, that
I'm
kind
dying
of sucks.
For some sleep, but I just lean me against the wall.
Wow.
I have to take a nap like a horse.
Arnold, do you hang around a guy like Keanu Reeves because he makes you feel like a great actor?
Keanu is a crazy, wacky party guy, you know.
Sure.
Sometimes we like to stay up all night. going, back and forth with each other. It's very entertaining.
That doesn't sound fun.
Governor,
we're glad to talk to you, but we're very, very short on time. We understand that Harrison Ford is at the party. Is there any way we could just say hello to
him? Yes, Harrison was just telling me the most funny joke in the room.
Really?
Room, he was telling, make sure he tells you the hilarious joke.
Okay.
About
the
Jew and the Christian who walk into the bar.
All right.
Okay, we'll ask him
Harry,
about that.
Harry, that is the radio a-holes for you.
Not a lot of respect.
It's by Harry.
Harrison?
Harrison Ford?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you, buddy?
We're
good. You know what? It's a real loud party there. If you could speak up a little bit just so we could make out what you're saying, Harry.
Okay. Is that better?
No. Arnold told us to have you tell us a joke.
Oh, okay. So a Jew and a Christian walking on
the bar. I'm sorry. I can't make out what you're saying.
Barton says, Jew.
That's it. Was that the whole joke? All right. How about one more? All right. Maybe so. Yeah. One more because we're flat out of time. But how about Jeff Bridges, who must just be the star of the whole party, winning the Best Actor Oscar last night? Is he there?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Love Jeff Bridges. Love it that the dude won an Oscar. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man. How are you?
We're
congratulations,
good.
Mr. Bridges.
It's great, man. I grew up in an Oscar family, and woo! Yeah, man.
Acting parents, they would be very proud if they had lived to see this.
If you hollow out an Oscar, you can make it a bong, man.
Why? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's a good tip, but most of us...
And you smoke out of it.
Right, but most of us
don't
have
Oscars.
Thank
you, man.
Right.
Thank you. Who are you?
Kevin and Bean.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
We didn't really...
This was T-Bone Burnett.
Right.
Mark Burnett.
Nope.
No, Mark Burnett didn't have anything to do with the... No, she wasn't part of the movie either.
And Rocky Burnett.
No, not even a little bit.
And the Rockettes and Burnett.
How long have you been high?
Oh, years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
We just
wanted to say
man. Congratulations and hope you get some sleep now.
Oh.
Because you're the dude.
Oh. Thank you, man.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right, Jeff. You won't remember this call tomorrow, will you?
Right on.
Right.
Dude. Oh.
Okay.
I won something.
You did. You won the award.
Oh.
All right.
That is
all right.
Cool.
All right.
It
is cool. Thank you, Jeff. We got to go
not
now.
Smoke Woody Harrelson's weed.
Okay, that's an important tip. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock and KROQ, and it is 9:43.
You know what movie I loved?
The Hangover.
Oh, yes, I loved it too. It's about guys who can't remember what happened to them after a night of binging.
You know what movie I loved? The Hangover.
Now I think I know why Kevin likes that movie so much, by the way. He identifies very much with those guys
in the
film.
That's not one of the top 10. F you.
Those are your hosts from the Academy Awards last night, and here's your host for Kevin Bean's Showbiz Beat, Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Did you see the speech that was given by, I think it was the brother who took Precious, the book, and wrote the screenplay?
No.
He won the best award for best adapted screenplay, I believe.
Yes.
And had a horrible speech, like was incoherent, and he mumbled,
yes.
And I'm drawing a blank thanks to my mom and
yeah.
Dad. And then he walked off the stage, and Steve Martin came out and said, I wrote that speech for him. It was awesome. I love those guys. In case you didn't watch the Oscars last night, The Hurt Locker won the big award, Best Picture for 2009. Catherine Bigelow, director of that film, won for Best Director. First time.
58 years old, by the way, looking like that. What's up with that?
Yeah, she looks pretty great for 58. Jeff Bridges won for Crazy Heart. Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side. Actor Christoph Waltz won Best Supporting Actor for Inglourious Basterds. Monique won for Best Supporting Actress. She is very impressed with herself. Just ask her.
She does love her.
Yeah.
Did you see Samuel Jackson rolling his eyes when she was giving her speech?
No.
It was awesome. They cut to him because he's black and she's black.
Sure,
they had to show him on the screen.
Yeah.
And he's like, rolling his eyes when she was talking. I was like, sweet. My wife's like, he just wants to be on a golf course someplace. He does not even want to be there.
No. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie yet. It does come out on DVD tomorrow, by the way, The Precious. And I'm sure she's magnificent in it. But I'm so glad to not have her on my TV at all these talk shows and award shows and everything else now.
Here's the thing. the role is very flashy. She plays a monster in the movie.
Right.
And the performance is very histrionic, and she's all over the place, and she's kicking things and throwing things. It's a very showy performance, but it's kind of one note. She's playing a monster, basically.
Right.
And any capable actor, given that kind of role, can garner a lot of attention with it. That's all I'm saying. I think some of the other performances in that same category were a little bit more nuanced and perhaps a little bit higher degree of difficulty when it came down to it. But those are the kind of roles that the Oscar
they love.
Academy likes. Yeah, yeah. They like to give toward those kind of awards. By the way, I don't know if you heard last night, but James Cameron was picked up by the police after the ceremony last night.
Really?
Yes. What? For transporting a skeleton. Apparently, he had human remains, apparently, on his arm.
That was because they thought he had
robbed a grave.
Ralph,
was carrying
his,
a skeleton in a dress.
Nope.
No, that's his wife.
That's Susie Amos' wife. That's not a skeleton. That's an actual live human being.
Yeah. What?
She's not looking good, if that's what you're saying.
Well, she is if it's the Crypt Keeper. But for a regular human? No, not so great.
And you're sitting behind his ex-wife, who's 10 times hotter and is about to beat your man out of an Oscar. Yeah.
And he left Linda Hamilton, his other wife, for this one.
Yeah. That's right.
Linda
That's
Hamilton's right. pretty good-looking broad, too, by the way.
He's not making good decisions.
Well, maybe he, likes Halloween a lot and save money on decorations that time of year. You just have your wife stand on the porch. Speaking of criminal behavior, do you remember D'Angelo? R&B singer D'Angelo?
Yes. Sure. Brown Sugar, yeah.
Take it easy, Bean. He's just that was one of his. Remember him?
Well, no, I'm saying that was one of his big hit songs. Was Brown?
Yes. He hasn't had an album since an album called Voodoo, which was released in 2000. So he hasn't exactly been on the R&B radar lately.
Okay.
Although apparently he is working on a new record, but he's going to take some time out from recording that because he just got popped last night for offering cash to an undercover cop who was posing as a prostitute.
Ew.
Yeah, they arrested him in Manhattan, and apparently he's got to deal with the court system for a little bit because of
he was hugely popular for a couple of years, really, really a big pop star, and then kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Pulled over in his Range Rover, solicited an undercover female cop who was posing as a prostitute. They popped him, and when they went inside his car and searched it, they found $12,000 in cash.
What?
Who's rolling around with 12 grand? In stacking bills.
That's odd.
That is odd, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
He wanted a lot of sex.
he had big plans for that evening.
12 grand.
Last night on the Oscars, Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin were very, very funny. However, they didn't get total creative freedom, apparently. They had a bunch of Tiger Woods jokes in store for the audience.
Oh, come on.
And producers, apparently, and not producers, rather, I'm sorry, the network apparently stepped in and asked them to axe all the Tiger Woods references from the script.
Is that because they're carrying whatever golf tournaments, blah, blah, blah?
I don't know
blah,
what
blah.
Their connection is, but apparently ABC wow. thought the jokes were in extremely poor taste.
Really?
Which means they would have been funny.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You said Meryl Streep has a collection of Hitler memorabilia, for God's sake.
<Right. laughs>
You're worried about taste?
Come on.
So, yes, we missed out on that. But apparently Jocelyn James, one of Tiger's former girlfriends, was at an Oscar party last night.
Okay.
She was escorted in with her publicity-loving attorney Gloria Allred apparently got her the invite into the Oscar party so that her client could be seen and photographed.
No, so that she could be seen and
photographed. Well, that too. Yeah. Sure. Doesn't hurt.
So Gloria Allred is her pimp.
Pretty much. And I heard you guys talking to Nicholson at that party. That sounds like quite the party.
Sure did.
Apparently, he's got a problem. According to the National Enquirer, he's got a raccoon infestation on his property in the Hollywood Hills. He's at his wit's end. He doesn't know how to get rid of the raccoon, so he has taken to asking his friends, when they visit the house, to go around various parts of his property and pee.
What?
Because apparently the scent of human urine keeps the raccoons at bay.
Okay.
Either that or Jack's kinky and he's got a fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having a joke at his friends.
Like a golden shower, if you don't mind.
Oh. I use coyote urine for my raccoons. Keeps them out of the yard. It works great.
What do you, milk a coyote? Where do you get that?
He gets it on Amazon, right?
Amazon.com. You just go do a search for coyote urine. You can buy it by the gallon. It's good stuff.
Buy it at Amazon.com.
Do you sit in your teepee and have some sort of ceremony before you put on your headdress and go sprinkling your coyote urine?
What's happening?
That's your Indian name, isn't it? Runs with coyote urine?
About once a month, I have my team go out and just spread it all the way around the yard to keep the raccoons out.
I'm just telling you, you don't have to have your friends when they come over to the house. You don't have to send them out in the yard and pee. You use coyote urine, and that works. That's why I wonder if you're right, Ralph, that Jack's just doing it for a laugh.
Well, first of all, you don't have any friends, so that's not an option for you. You have to go with the coyote route.
You can get that from Amazon.
You can buy anything on Amazon. Anything. True. That lawnmower on Amazon if you want it.
The world's coyote urine.
Clearinghouse. No, it's amazing.
How do they collect that?
I would like to know.
You go out with a coyote.
Yeah.
You buy him a lot of beers.
You have a lot of drinks.
Buy him a lot of beers.
Right.
And then when you follow him into the men's room, he's going in there and say, psst, coyote, come here.
That's weird.
And then beep, beep. Roadrunner goes by and.
Maybe so.
And then, you know, hilarity ensues. Today's celebrity birthdays, Christina DeBarge. Christina DeBarge.
Does not make the list.
Is the next generation of music-making DeBarge from the DeBarge family.
A star even?
No. Yes.
No.
Yes, she
no.
is a star in her own right.
Absolutely not.
It's Christina DeBarge. We celebrate her 20th
Absolutely
birthday.
Absolutely not.
She's hot.
Okay.
Kat Von D. She is a tattoo artist. We've had her on the show many times, and she is just charming and lovely. She's 28. Andy Ross, guitarist for OK Go, is 31 years old. Have you seen the other OK Go video where they're out in the field when they're dressed like a marching band?
Mm-mm.
Yes. No. Yes. Awesome.
That's good, too.
It's amazing. And the other members of the marching band are all hidden like as bushes and grass and stuff, and they stand up at different parts and they drop down again. So they appear and disappear in the same video, and it's all done in one take.
These guys must do mushrooms. They must do some acid something.
They work hard on their videos.
To come up with those ideas.
James Vanderbeek is 33 years old today. Actor Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 34. Cameron Manheim, actress who I really thought had retired, I swear to God, until someone in the office told me that she's on Ghost Whisperer, apparently.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She works
on
that show.
No idea.
I had no idea either. She is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We can't wait to tell you about Professor Bean. He is leaving today after the show to go teach
a
class.
Why is that funny? I know stuff about things.
Because those poor kids right now have no idea what's in store. They're going to go home and go, what happened?
He dumps an S-load of information on us, and we're not even asking for it. What about those kids who are trapped in a classroom? What are they going to get?
What a nightmare.
Thank you, Mr. Know-it-all.
Oh, they screwed.
I got 50 minutes and a captive audience. Here I come.
We got a new internet roundup. We have Adam Sessler from G4's X Play talking about video games, and we have Ben McKenzie, the star of Southland.
Did you see it last week, Southland?
I taped it. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, so good. I'm so glad that show's back.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from Gorillaz. It's called Stylo. Also, Nirvana on the way, Smashing Pumpkins, Everclear. And Kevin, just for you, we scheduled some Modest Yahoo. That's all on the way right here at the world-famous K-Rock.